Hey, man, tell Joe, tell Joe, tell Joe.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Thursday, January 30th, 2025. This is your award-winning Gibbo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1734.
This is No Agenda.
Parsing the performatives and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country right here in FEMA region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I've determined that Vogue magazine is an outlet of the American Communist Party. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
What magazine now?
Vogue.
Oh, Vogue? Vogue is a commie rag? Is that what you're saying?
Well, when they did this slam of poor Melania Trump's official portrait.
Oh, have they done that again? Did they publish it?
This time they said she looks like a freelance magician with that outfit on. It's a good line.
It's funny.
But
yeah, that's
but
good.
Then it harkens back to the Teen Vogue article on Marxism. But this is about 3 or 4 years ago. We talked about it on the show. They did not only an article on like how Marxism works, but they were advocating for it.
Wow.
For Teen Vogue.
It's Marxism. No, Teen Vogue is a complete Marxist magazine.
But Teen Vogue is part of Vogue, and the whole operation is run by Advanced Publications, which you bought Condé Nast some years ago, and I think they're now suspect.
Oh, totally. My youngest stepdaughter sometimes does production for some of their shoots. Totally. Totally Marxist. Which is fine. That's if they want to do
fine. Yeah, but yeah. I think people should know.
Before the show started, we were discussing the origin of mind your P's and Q's. As I said to John, I think you should mind your P's and Q's, son.
Yes, and I was condemning him for drinking too much coffee in the morning.
Mind your P's and Q's is an English language expression meaning mind your manners, mind your language, be on your best behavior, or watch what you're doing.
Yeah.
One explanation favored in letters to the editors of Notes and Queries, dated from 1851, is a literal interpretation of the saying regarding possible confusion between the lowercase letters P and Q in schoolwork or typesetting. So you were right. You were very close to being correct. Which
I was correct.
Story of your life. Story of your life. Very close to being correct.
Very close. Close.
Very close.
I was close enough is the way it goes. Close enough.
Yeah, you said
unlike the close enough mishap that took place, which you have to discuss.
I do. And it's always interesting how it went really fast this time. Like, it was a remote control. You know, come on.
The stuff that came in is ridiculous. There's two things that bother me. One is the lack of information, of which, of course, there's not going to be that much. The second one was the fact that it took up all the airwaves on all the networks.
Oh, it took
for hours on end, and there was nothing to show or see except the same one little looped video. Plus a million. I don't know how many police there are in that area, but there must be 10,000. And they just kept showing this one shot, and they had nothing to talk about. Why do they do this? What is the point?
Oh, I can answer that question. Many of these news models are in Washington, D.C., or commute into Washington, D.C., have been in Washington, D.C. regularly to get their marching orders, to talk to their inside sources and people familiar with the president's thinking, and they love this airport. So they're like, oh, man, that could have been me. Let's do some more story on it. It's all about them.
Well, that actually brought Swalwell on, of all people, from California. But
really?
He flew in like 2 or 3 planes before the crash, and it was the same thing. It could have been me.
Yeah, of course.
It's always it could have been me.
Well, that's how it works with air disasters. Of course, everyone knows it could have been me. I am somewhat uniquely qualified because I am both a helicopter pilot and a fixed wing pilot. And this seems quite obvious to me what happened here. This is actually Sky News, I think, and It was Australia. This guy came pretty close to what was going on, I think.
I understand, though, very shortly before this accident, the aircraft in question, the Bombardier CR-7, was actually cleared, asked to operate off a shorter runway, runway 33.
So the fact that they changed the runways, I mean, is that presumably is relatively common, is it not?
It is relatively common. The challenge, though, of course, is that it means for aircraft departing, that's fine, but for an aircraft that's already set up to land on a main runway, he's now got to fly an S-curve to actually reposition himself to come on a straight approach down on runway 33. That means that he's actually in a different position. He's now over the Potomac. Why is this important? Because for the military helicopter pilot, his brain, which they call it situational awareness, but you've got a brain map of where everything is. You'll have assumed everything is on approach the main runway or departing the main runway. You won't have factored in this one aircraft that's now coming in and doing a descent over the Potomac.
He's pretty close. It is a situational awareness issue, and this is a known procedure to divert because it's very busy airspace, probably too busy because everyone loves it so much and want to go into DCA instead of the alternative is just closer.
Well, yeah, the difference is about an hour because your DCA is right downtown, and the Dulles is a million miles away.
Yeah.
It's like Midway and O'Hare.
So the military are on a different frequency. So he wasn't necessarily monitoring what was going, the pilot. And this was an annual, well, they call it a re-inspection flight, which is kind of all pilots go through it, an annual inspection. You fly with instructors, in this case, a crew of three. And so they may not have completely been aware of the change that was made for that flight. And having flown at night, and this is the same thing with the drones over New Jersey, it's not easy to see things. It's not easy. He probably was looking at, or what they thought they were looking at was American Airlines 3130, which was somewhat behind the aircraft that got hit. And they may have even had all eyes inside the cockpit. You know, this happens sometimes. It just happens where no one is looking outside. You're doing your procedures. You're looking at the instruments. It's a night flight. The whole point is to, you know, is flying at night, and it's just not easy to see things. And from what I could tell, I actually have a little bit of the audio because you hear. The tower hears you can hear the collision alert in the tower, and it's just seconds before it happens. That's the collision alert.
Pass 25, get the CRJ in flight. Pass 25, pass one, it's CRJ.
Pass 12, there's an aircraft in sight, visual separation.
So the helicopter says aircraft in sight, visual separation. He could not have been looking at that, and he's looking at it from the side. He must have been looking at a different aircraft. It's so easy when you're, I mean, it's happened so often. I've even in the UK, I was setting up for an approach, and it turns out I was looking at the wrong airport. I mean, it's at night, things are very different. This is why the planes sometimes land on the taxiway. It's not easy to fly at night. And then here, of course,
472 by Beth, now for individual. American 472, Oxford, 1 star, 3 2 3.
There it is. Boom. He says visual, and then just seconds later, it crashes right into it. There's nothing more, nothing less than a very bad day. Now, the president went out and talked to the press this morning, and I watched most of that. He said, we're going to get to the bottom of it. Mistakes were made. I mean, seriously, I think mistakes were made because when you have this helicopter at basically the same altitude within, you know, 50 feet of the incoming regional jet, I mean, it would have been very easy for the controller to say, okay, I mean, you can do a lot with the helicopter. You can turn on a dime. You can do a lot. I don't know exactly how fast they're going, but you can do a lot of different things. And the controller took it for granted. I'm not blaming the controller or anybody really. Took for granted that when the pilot said visual, that he saw it and that it was visual. But they were already kind of too, I mean, you know, when you're flying and you see another plane, you know that you're on a collision course when it looks like the other plane is not moving. So, and that's what you train for. It's like, I'm looking at this aircraft. It's not moving. That means I'm on a direct collision course with it, or if you're at the same altitude. So they just didn't see it. And then there's all this talk of night vision goggles. You know, you're not going to, it's going to be even worse with night vision goggles, all those lights of DC. That's going to bleed everything out. So it's just a horrible situation. And it's maybe not even necessarily anybody's fault other than, you know, President Trump took it to DEI. He actually went there, which was...
That was going to be expected.
Yeah, and it was a light touch on it, but... So this is just a bad day, and, you know, stuff happens. Lots of people die in traffic accidents all day long.
30,000 a year.
Yeah, you don't hear about it. And this is just it's a crappy one because people fly and everyone feels that pain. So, but the conspiracy, oh, it was runway 33. Do you know how many runway 33s there are? It's a very typical runway heading. So, no conspiracy, just a bad day.
And why? Well, here's something for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Explain why. There's not 33 runways at DCA. There's not. There's about four.
No, that's a compass direction.
33 degrees?
Yes, 33. Well, 330 degrees, yes. So when you hear runway one, that's basically 10. So 10 degrees. It'll be the, or 100 degrees. It'll be the exact opposite of the 33. No, I'm sorry. That's not true. So the typical headings you have on runways will be 27, 22, 33. It all has to do with the typical wind direction that happens at that particular airfield. And there's a lot of 33 the runway headings. So, you know, but then it's like, oh, 33 runway heading and three people on the plane. Oh, yeah. Clearly remote controlled to kill who was on the plane. Well, it's sadly a bunch of figure skaters.
Yeah, that was kind of tragic.
It's always tragic. These things are always tragic. And it was on a continuity of government flight. It was a training flight.
Wow. Yeah. No, there's been a lot of this sort of thing. It's annoying. I find it annoying.
It's to be expected. It's to be expected. So, but it's just bad. It's just
and then
a
the
bad
social
day.
Media. There's a whole line of tweets I ran into with these guys carping at each other. I'm a chopper pilot from Vietnam War, and blah blah. And then, oh no, you're full of shit. You can't turn that thing off. You can't turn off the transponder. Yeah, you can. No, you can't.
Yeah.
And it just. It goes on forever.
I will mention that. So you have something called TCAS, Traffic Collision Alert System, and it's pretty much useless below 1,000 feet because it's going to be going off all the time. And it also doesn't give below 1,000 feet, it's not going to tell you to go up or go down. It's just going to say traffic. And in busy airspace, you'll hear that thing a lot because it's, you know, 1,000 feet separation. So you're just going to hear this, and you just want to hope that no one's on the same altitude. But this, again, it's military and civilian sharing the same airspace, different frequencies. Bad day wrecker for everybody. That's it. There's nothing more to give you on that. And there'll be a report, and we'll hear something, and I'm sure somebody will get. Everyone got to get up and speak. You know, this was the first time for Pete Hegseth to speak. J.D. Vance, our vice president, came out and spoke. Everybody was all in on this because it was bad. And of course, you want to keep the. I'll just be cynical about it. You want to keep the attention away from the televised hearings, which is what it definitely did. Which I don't even know if anyone cares about these anymore. They're so performative and everybody trying to get their sound bite in and, you know, it's a yes or no question.
Ugh. I love the yes or no thing.
It's just.
I'll take that as a no.
Yeah. Oh, it's. You know,
I'll take that as a yes.
It really doesn't work anymore as far as I'm concerned. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, but I think it does work.
For who?
We've been watching this yes or no thing. It works for the guy who's running for re-election.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good point.
It's not working for the hearings because everyone knows they're all full of crap. And in fact, Kennedy himself, I have a bunch of Kennedy clips,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, that's good.
And Kennedy himself, I don't have this clip, but he says, you know, you guys used to all be my friends, all you Democrats. Yeah, I know what you're doing. And it's like, this is what you have to do. And he goes on and on. And because he does, he's not an idiot.
Yeah.
But listen to these guys, Wyden, and then what's the thing that I like the most is that every one of these guys who slammed on Kennedy, because there's a real strong movement to get him in here. All these TikTokers and tweeters and all the rest of them are coming out with, well, though, I can see why Elizabeth Warren did this. She took $1.2 million from Big Pharma, $1.1 million from her, this and that, and they're just going after these people.
I just wanted to say on Elizabeth Warren, we know from firsthand sources that she took significant amounts of money from Bose to get this hearing aid.
Right, the hearing aid thing. One of your pet peeves.
Oh, it is, because Bose, and by the way, it failed for them, but Bose had hearing devices which you can get over the counter. And they were called amplifiers or hearing, I think it was hearing amplifiers.
Enhancers.
They couldn't call it hearing aids. She took the money and she got everyone together, and then and Apple was a part of this too, so they could call either their software or their hardware devices, they could call them hearing aids, and you can get them without assistance from an audiologist, which is just, it's stupid. If you're going deaf because you've been, if you don't care about your hearing, you just want to amp it up and you don't want to hear fidelity and be able to fine tune it, okay, don't go to an audiologist. But from my own personal experience, having an audiologist is a good thing. It's because you may not know exactly what you should be hearing, and these devices that shoot tones into your ear and then AI discovers the exact frequency. No, it's just not true. It's like glasses. You have to have the guy going, okay, how about this? How about that? And you're going, I don't know. Go back again. That's just how it is.
A or B.
A, back again. A or B. This one or that one. Okay, let's try this. Oh, you can't see it all now. Okay. Okay, how about now? It's just, that is how you actually, it's not an exact science. So she took money for that. There's a whole...
She is a corrupt woman. and she is like, it's an embarrassment. And but Wyden was even worse. I mean, he's opened it up with a real... Let me play a clip.
Let me see. I think I have the list, I think. I mean, I got the list of a lot of these people and what they took from Big Pharma. And you're right. That now that we all know how it works... and I think a lot of people, and you're right, this is where social media, of course, does a reasonably good job of, saying, hey, this guy is defending this, or this lady is defending this, because this is who they represent. They don't represent people. They represent big interests, pharmaceutical interests being one of them. And this is what DC is full of, is dinners and lunches and hangouts. And I think a lot of them believe it.
Graft. Let's use the right word.
Graft or grift? Which one is it?
Graft.
Right. Yeah. And, and I think a lot of people believe, look, here's the 40 studies that say that, who was that horrible witch woman? No, it was some woman.
Oh, Smith? Oh, no, the other one.
No, it was about an... It was, I don't even remember what it was about. All they just brought up, it was like, bring your kitchen sink and dump it on Kennedy's head, because this is going to be fun, people. That's what it was. All right, why don't you go ahead and start with some of these, because we might as well get some of them out of the way.
Yeah, and I do want to say, I don't have the clip, and you might, I know
I have
if
a couple,
you have it or not.
I have a couple.
No, but do you have the clip of Shanahan?
No, don't have Shanahan. Ugh. What was, I missed the Shanahan.
Shanahan, the vice president for Kennedy's campaign, the billionaire girl.
Yes.
She came out. I got to get this clip. Maybe I'll run it on Sunday. She literally threatened everybody who votes no on Kennedy with she's going to take her resources, and she's got plenty of them, to go primary these people. And she named names.
Here it is.
Yes, play it.
Hey, everyone. Tomorrow is a pivotal moment
this
in our nation's history. At 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Eastern time,
yeah.
RFK will sit in front of the Senate Finance Committee for his confirmation hearing to be our nation's next Secretary of Health and Human Services. I urge everyone to call their U.S. senators over the following days and demand they vote yes on Bobby's nomination. He is more than qualified. He's proven, principled, and prepared to lead. I'll share a list below of key senators. If they represent your state, they need to hear from you. If they don't, please call your own senator and ask them to vote yes. We need as many votes as we can get. So this hasn't been widely reported, but in 2020, I cut large checks to Chuck Schumer to help Democrats flip two Senate seats in Georgia from red to blue. The two candidates I helped elect, Senator Raphael Warnock and Senator John Ossoff, please know I will be watching your votes very closely. I will make it my personal mission that you lose your seats in the Senate if you vote against the future health of America's children. And more than that, I also want to say to Senators Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Bill Cassidy, Tom Tillis, James Lankford, Cory Booker, John Fetterman, Bernie Sanders, and Catherine Cortez Masto, this is a bipartisan message, and it comes directly from me. While Bobby may be willing to play nice, I won't. If you vote against him, I will personally fund challengers to primary you in your next election, and I will enlist hundreds of thousands to join me.
Yes, call me.
Big Pharma and Big Ag have exploited us for far too long. It ends now. You're either on the side of transparency and accountability, or you are standing in the way. The choice is yours. Please choose wisely.
I thought this was a bit much.
Well, but that's how it goes, you know?
It could be going that way because, you know, Musk is still irked about his one kid transitioning, and he's got... But she took it to the level that I've never seen anyone do. This is open threats.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, that's the question. I mean, until now, it's always been considered bad form. I mean, you do what Soros did.
Have you seen
the open society and let go behind the...
No, no. That spell is broken. It's long gone. It's balls to the wall. We're to the mat. Have you seen our president? No, no, no. Hey, you don't want to take these people are sending back tariffs. Next week, double tariffs. Oh, now you want to do it. No, this is just, it's threats. It's threats. This is who we are. It's who we are now. Yeah.
So we open up with Kennedy, and here's Wyden, who this is a very short, clip of him who he went on for 5-6 minutes,
of course,
slamming Kennedy. Now, Wyden, of course, took a lot of money from Big Pharma,
yeah.
So there's a good reason for him to be. And he is the co-chairman of the finance committee, so he got to speak and yak away all he wanted. And here this is the best part, I think.
Committee staff have examined thousands of pages.
I forgot how he talks. That's great.
Yeah, statement. He talks like a sort. It's not even. I don't know how he explained it.
It's Jason Calacanis. Yeah.
Committee staff have examined thousands of pages of statements, books, and podcast transcripts.
Podcast.
In a review of his record.
I just need to stop for a second. Podcasts have come quite a way, haven't they, John? Podcasts have come quite a way.
They're right in their media now.
It's mainstream, baby. It's mainstream. No, it's mainstream.
Is mainstream.
Yeah, it is.
And people joke about it. I was watching one of these, you know, the Fox shows where they talk about, oh, I guess she's going to quit. Or, you know, they're talking about Acosta for one guy who's going to do a podcast. And it's like, and somebody says he's going to do a podcast. And a person did the joke. I've done it a million times, which is, well, who isn't?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's become such a, it's like a trope.
Now, I have thoughts about that for later.
The receipts show that Mr. Kennedy has embraced conspiracy theories, quacks, charlatans, especially when it comes to the safety and efficacy of vaccines. He has made it his life's work to sow doubt and discourage parents from getting their kids life-saving vaccines. It has been lucrative for him and put him on the verge of immense power. This is the profile of someone who chases money and influence wherever they lead, even if that may mean the tragic deaths of children and other vulnerable people.
Yeah, see, I don't think this works anymore. First of all, it's a blatant lie because he's been very clear about safe and tested vaccines. He's been very clear about that. And I'm sure that Wyden
lying and lying and lying because they don't want this guy in.
No, but the whole world knows. Even the
way you're so cavalier with this statement you just made.
What?
The whole world knows what?
Well, I'm about to finish the statement. You interrupted my statement and said it was cavalier before I even finished it.
Because the premise, I'm already disagreeing with whatever you're going to say. But
I believe that the entire world knows that, maybe I'm not, maybe you're right, maybe I'm cavalier. A large percentage of the world knows that the COVID.
Oh, you changed it.
Yes, I said, maybe you're right. It's okay. Would you like a medal, a little star on your forehead?
Yes, I would. You're a good doobie.
You're a good doobie. A large percentage of the population realizes that the vaccine for COVID was not effective. It did not prevent transmission. It did not prevent you from getting COVID. And I think a portion of that knows it was probably not safe and effective. And they're wondering why they keep getting sick. So, you know, people are not all in on vaccines anymore. And the more people hear about the, and I think this is a small percentage who realize that in the United States that there's immunity. As in, you can't get sued if your product is defective. So this is, it's just, I don't know if how many people are buying it. But that doesn't matter because it comes down to the vote, ultimately. No one's going to call up their senator. Who does that anymore? Can I text him? Can I send him a tweet? Senator? Can I do a TikTok? This is passive politics. I'm going to get on TikTok. I'm going to give Wyden a piece of my mind. No one cares. No one cares. All right, back to you, Bob.
Was that the end of the clip?
That was, yes, and the end of Marrant.
Well.
Yeah, well, not much of a rant, Curry.
Whatever.
Whatever he says, okay.
I'm like a woman now.
Gloves are off. Okay, what would you like to play next? I have Kennedy clips.
A bunch of them here. Let's go with one of my favorites, Bennett, this Colorado senator comes up, and he's another stooge. And he's the guy who was the most yes, no, yes, no, it's just yes and no. It's a yes and no question. I take that as a yes.
You say that it targets black and white people, but spared Ashkenazi Jews.
I quoted a study, Your Honor. I quoted an NIH study that showed that.
I'll take that as a yes. I have to move on.
Yeah.
Did you say that Lyme disease is is highly likely a materially engineered bioweapon? I made sure I put in the highly likely. Did you say Lyme disease is a highly likely militarily engineered bioweapon?
I probably did say that.
Did you say that?
That's what the developer of
Lyme disease. I want all of our colleagues to hear it, Mr. Kennedy. I want them to hear it. You said yes. Did you say that exposure to pesticides causes children to become transgender?
Yes! No, I never said that.
Okay, well, I have the record that I'll give to the chairman, and he can make his judgment about what you said.
Yeah.
Referring to that, which is a fungicide, I believe. It's not a pesticide that causes the frogs to go gay.
Yeah, it's the, you know what it's called. What's it called?
You know, it's funny. I can't remember because I played a whole presentation on this about 6 years ago.
Yeah, you have something to say about
me. From the professor at Cal who studied this to death.
Atrazine, yes.
And it's possible that is part of and this guy is going nuts. But the Lyme's disease thing, which doesn't crop up much,
That's the Plum Island story in New York.
Yeah, Plum Island. Exactly. I'm glad you remember that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Plum Island, which is where Lyme's disease seemed to have originated from. And it was a military bioweapons lab. And all of a sudden from this area this new disease, Lyme's disease, appears.
Yes.
And so this Bennett guy is an asshole, typical Colorado guy.
Well, exactly. Colorado.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Colorado.
Now, White House was given 5 minutes, so he bitched about that, and so he decided not to ask any questions, but just Reem Kennedy, and I just want to play the beginning of how he prefaced this.
I'm looking for White House.
It should be.
Oh, I got Kennedy. Yep, I got him. I got him.
Senator Whitehouse.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Kennedy, I only have 5 minutes with you, so, and I've got a lot of experience with CMS, so you're just going to have to listen.
Now, this is another thing. People are no longer interested in your sound bites and your I only have 5 minutes. People have become used to the Joe Rogan 3 hours. They're like, what is this? What is this nonsense? Talk. Give the guy some time. Talk about whatever it is. It's the whole thing is outdated, wrong, antiquated, and an arachnanism as something like that.
Arachnanism. Anachronism. The word is anachronism.
The secret word
is like arachnanism. It's like some sort of bug or something.
The secret word is anachronism. Mm-hmm. All right.
So here's Warren. She does a two-part.
Oh,
she starts
my off, favorite. She was.
I only have a couple
favorite.
Of parts of it. I don't believe me. I've cut this. This is the shortest presentation I could.
It's good.
So she starts off with a softball, and this is Warren one.
So here's an easy question. Will you commit that when you leave this job, you will not accept compensation from a drug company, a medical device company, a hospital system, or a health insurer for at least 4 years, including as a lobbyist or a board member?
Can you just repeat the last part of the question? Can I commit?
You're not going to take money from drug companies in any way, shape, or form.
Who? Me?
Yes, you.
Oh. I'm happy to commit to that.
Okay, good. That's what I figured. I said it's an easy question to start with.
You know what was most offensive about her presentation is when she put her fingers together, like showing money, like her thumb and her fingers, getting money, because that just shows you it's her own projection. Of that,
oh,
you know,
she's
getting money.
She and Wyden and a number of other these guys and that other guy screaming about yes or no, they were visibly shaking.
Yes, they're all so, of them so mad because they must have threats on the backside.
I think they have. I believe that's might yeah, be it. They may have be. Threats again. They were visibly shaken. She was just shaking like a leaf.
Do you think that Shanahan is a threat? What do you think about the farmer rep who drops by and says, "If you don't make sure this Kennedy guy doesn't get in, if you don't discredit him, I'm going to primary you." You don't think that conversation happened?
Yeah, not in public though.
No, imagine.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah, of course. Well, this is good. Let's shake them out. Let's smoke them
well,
out.
Well, there's I don't know. This is it's not good, actually. This can be put an end can be put to this in one quick executive order.
And what would that order be?
Television drug advertising.
Yeah,
it takes the money out of the. It takes all these ridiculous profits out of these stupid drugs that have all these side effects, and it takes the money away from the media, who's been banking on this drug money since day one, since it's began, and they've like kind of leaned on it, and that will hurt the media big time.
I don't think the president has the balls to do it, because he knows that then his entire base will get primaried. It will be an all-out war if he does that.
Well, there's going to be an all-out war anyway if Kennedy doesn't get in. So here's where she starts to get mean, and she starts to go after him because he's a lawyer that's been suing pharma companies.
This is great. This is a good clip.
You could change vaccine labeling. You could change vaccine information rules. You could change which claims are compensated in the vaccine injury compensation program. There's a lot of ways that you can influence those future lawsuits and pending lawsuits while you are Secretary of HHS. And I'm asking you to commit right now that you will not take a financial stake in every one of those lawsuits so that what you do as Secretary will also benefit you financially down the line.
I'll comply with all the ethical guidelines.
That's not the question. You and I, you have said
You're asking me not to sue. That's exactly what you're doing.
No. Look, no one should be fooled here. As Secretary of HHS, Robert Kennedy will have the power to undercut vaccines and vaccine manufacturing across our country. And for all of his talk about follow the science and his promise that he won't interfere with those of us who want to vaccinate his kids, the bottom line is the same. Kennedy can kill off access to vaccines and make millions of dollars while he does it. Kids might die, but Robert Kennedy can keep cashing in.
Oh, man. She's just not a good person.
She's been visibly shaking. I think shaking. You know, your comment that the drug company guy, the rep coming by saying we're going to primary you if you don't get this guy killed, I think is dead on, because that there's no reason to be this nervous. She was shaking when she was condemning him.
Pretty bad. That's really pretty bad.
So it went back and forth because the Republicans were all amenable and they were happy with it and they think they can get the votes, you know, except for the couple of them. And so the Ron Johnson, who is just a gentle guy, who is really interesting.
Well, he's held a lot of these side room conferences about.
Oh yeah, he's the one who does He's the one who does those extra ones.
Yeah,
in a bunker someplace, he puts together what looks like a congressional investigation. Yeah,
they throw some skirts over some IKEA tables, and it's like, all right, you're in the Capitol right now. Uh huh.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
So he let Kennedy talk, and these are the last two clips. And this is not really about the back and forth. This is Kennedy giving his side of the story, and I think. If you listen to this, it's pretty hard to not want this guy in. This is Kennedy to Johnson 1.
When I launched my campaign, it was about uniting Americans, Democrats and Republicans. There's no issue that should unite us more than this chronic health epidemic. There's no such thing as Republican children or Democratic children. These are our kids. 66% of them are damaged. I know what a healthy kid looks like, because I had so many of them in my family. I didn't know anybody with a food allergy growing up, peanut allergy. Why do five of my kids have allergies? Why are we seeing these explosions in diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, neurological diseases, depression, all of these things that are related to toxic in the environment? Why can't we just agree with each other to put differences about so many issues, intractable issues aside, and say, we're going to end this? I don't think anybody is going to be able to do this like I have.
I'm all in with that. And it is interesting how there's a decrease in, you know, people are saying, yeah, let's process food. I mean, the word is seeping out. It goes very slow. I think it takes years before. It goes slow, but
yeah, thanks to McDonald's.
This has gone faster than most because of, you know, no one watches television anymore. They're on social media, and then if you look at one video about processed food on TikTok, you'll get 1,000 of them. It's interesting. That. It's interesting.
It is interesting. I have to agree.
In general,
so the second part of this, he goes on after another back and forth, and he gives this spiel, which is to me is the kicker. This is the reason you want the guy.
Because of my peculiar experience, because I've litigated against these agencies. When you litigate against them, you get a PhD in corporate capture and how to unravel it. I've written 6 books about these agencies. I know a lot about them, and I know how to fix it. And there's nobody who will fix it the way that I do, because I'm not scared of vested interests. I don't care. I'm not here because I want a position or a job. I have a very good life and a happy family. This is something I don't need. I want to do this because we're going to fix it. And the other thing is, we are attracting now a caliber of people to HHS like never before in history. And there are entrepreneurs there. They're disruptors, they're innovators of immense talent that are walking away, many of them, from growing concerns. They're not coming there for position. They're coming there because they want to save our country.
Yeah. Maha. Make America healthy again. Of course. Of course.
So this vote will be very interesting. There's one more hearing today with him again, but it's not the important hearing. The hearing that took place at the Finance Committee is, I was told, the hearing that really determines whether he's going to get go forward, and he will, because the Republicans are going to vote for him. And then it goes to the
big, are you sure? Are you really sure? You think they're?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because there's nobody on the Finance Committee that is a waffling Republican.
Mm-hmm. I need to play a few clips here before we move off of Kennedy. And with this, I will say in 1997 or 98, I got a call from Caroline Kennedy, and she wanted to meet with me because I was doing internet stuff. And so I meet with Caroline Kennedy, and she, well, you know, Tom Brokaw said I should talk to you about the internet. And so I spoke about the internet.
And she did an invitation to Brokaw when she did this.
No, that was me. Tom Brokaw, I wanted to talk about the internet. You know, Adam Curry. And she was, like, oh, I want to get the internet for, I think it was for the Kennedy Library or something. She was in charge of that. And it became very apparent to me. She did not give not one hoot about the internet. She just wanted a press release. That's all she cared about. She just wanted to have a press release saying, we're on the information superhighway. We're on an on-ramp to the information superhighway. And she just did not care. And then she went away, and then nothing ever happened. But what she did to Bobby Jr. here is pretty, I mean, again, is she just looking for a headline? Is she looking for, I don't know what she's looking for, but this was, from your family, I mean, all of his family are crazy, but she just really took it all with this. And I think she does this for herself. She doesn't even do it to save or protect anybody. She only cares about herself.
Now that Bobby has been nominated by President Trump to be Secretary of Health and Human Services, a position that would put him in charge of the health of the American people, I feel an obligation to speak out. I've known Bobby my whole life. We grew up together. It's no surprise that he keeps birds of prey as pets, because Bobby himself is a predator. He's always been charismatic, able to attract others through the strength of his personality, his willingness to take risks and break the rules. I watch his younger brothers and cousins follow him down the path of drug addiction.
Nice.
His basement, his garage, his dorm room were always the center of the action, where drugs were available, and he enjoyed showing off how he put baby chickens and mice in a blender to feed to his hawks.
Oh, no!
It was often a perverse scene of despair and violence. That was a long time ago, and people can change. Through his own strength and the many second chances he was given by people who felt sorry for the boy who lost his father, Bobby was able to pull himself out of illness and disease. I admire the discipline that took and the continuing commitment it requires.
However,
but siblings and cousins who Bobby encouraged down the path of substance abuse suffered addiction, illness, and death. While Bobby has gone on to misrepresent, lie, and cheat his way through life.
Nice. So nice, Caroline. Thank you. I want to play a couple of clips here.
She is a horrible person.
That's what I said.
You know, just from a few years being in the Biden administration, she was the ambassador to Australia with no credentials for this, by the way, that I could tell. She doesn't really do anything. She's a nudnik at
best. Wait, wasn't she also ambassador to Japan for a bit there? If I recall,
I think she might have been.
I think,
again, with no credentials, doesn't speak the language, and etc.
No, she doesn't.
But she looks like she's 50 years older.
Yeah, she does not look
from
good.
Just 4 years ago.
She looks like Phil Collins. It's bad. Let's listen to the elite messaging system, which is severely broken. But here's NBC picking up the ball and approaching the obvious attack vector against RFK Jr.
Tonight, on the eve of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Senate confirmation hearing to lead the Department of Health and Human Services,
Bobby himself is a predator.
Caroline Kennedy is lashing out at her cousin, calling him unqualified.
What?
Like, like a nat pop.
Caroline Kennedy is no, she's only good for nat pops.
Bobby himself is a predator.
Caroline Kennedy is lashing out at her cousin, calling him unqualified to oversee critical agencies, including the FDA and CDC, pointing in part to his stance on vaccines.
Bobby preys on the desperation of parents of sick children, vaccinating his own kids while building a following, hypocritically discouraging other parents from vaccinating theirs.
Do you have any response to the letter released by Caroline Kennedy?
RFK Jr. ignored NBC News' questions today.
Ignored it! But oh no, he ignored the NBC!
His cousin's concern is echoed in...
How dare he ignore the NBC!
Franklin, Tennessee.
It's very scary that that person is going to be making...
Very scary.
...public health decisions for... Our Who's family this? In the country.
Just some rando.
Country as a whole.
Jen Fisher's 12-year-old son, Raleigh, was born with a congenital heart condition that makes him more vulnerable to all types of sickness. Her fear now made worse, Jen says,
NBC by growing back. This is the, hold on a second. This is the worst reporting I've ever seen for a while.
It's not a report.
This is, she is hysterical in the reporting, a reportage.
Yes.
And she's going, she's ratting it off like there's nothing going, you know, she's just a maniac, this reporter.
Aaron McLaughlin.
This is a terrible product. The ABC has lost the lost the plot.
Well, that's why I call it the broken elite messaging system.
...to all types of sickness. Her fear now made worse, Jen says, by growing vaccine skepticism within the Franklin community.
What does that mean for Raleigh?
That's a scarier thing to send him out the door every morning. It's cold and flu season, so there's a lot of illness going around.
It's a lot of illness going on. It's very scary.
Get your shot.
Well, there's a second part to this.
Here in Tennessee, according to the CDC, more and more parents are choosing not to vaccinate their children against preventable diseases such as measles and whooping cough. A reality Dr. Daniel McGinley says he is increasingly confronting in his practice.
Do you worry that people are going to die because of this skepticism?
Some will.
You're confident that that is going to happen.
If these diseases come back, more people will die.
People will die. Going across 40 states plus Washington, D.C. Last school year, the percentage of kindergartners exempted from one or more mandatory vaccines was the highest ever recorded, fueled by online conspiracies and high-profile critics of vaccines and vaccine mandates, like RFK Jr.
There's no vaccine that is, you know, safe and effective.
Since his nomination, he said he's not anti-vaccine.
Isn't that a good one? That's my.
Well, that's taken out of context.
That's what's so good about it.
This is terrible. This is NBC at its worst.
This is awesome.
There's no vaccine that is, you know, safe and effective.
Since his nomination.
By the way, stop. Wait. This, you and pharma advertising, this stops instantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, yes. You are correct, sir.
There's no vaccine that is, you know, safe and effective.
Since his nomination, he said he's not anti-vaccine and he won't take them away. But parents like Fisher say they'll be watching tomorrow's confirmation hearing closely, knowing that for Raleigh and children like him, the stakes are high.
It's life or death for Raleigh. The stakes are high. We need to go to the other side of the messaging system, to CBS. We'll bring in Dr. John LaPook. LaPook is here.
We are joined now by our chief medical correspondent.
Chief medical correspondent, not just a doctor. He's a chief medical correspondent. Makes you sound official. He should be wearing a uniform with braids and medals and all kinds of stuff.
We are joined now by our chief medical correspondent, Dr. John LaPook. John, start our conversation off by telling us what RFK Jr. would oversee. Massive department.
Yeah, you're right, John. You know, HHS is huge. We put together something I want to show you. The annual budget is $1.8 trillion. That is 26 cents out of every dollar that the government spends every year. And it oversees 13 federal agencies, including the CDC, the FDA, Medicaid, Medicare, and the NIH, which oversees a tremendous amount of medical research. So this organization really affects almost all of us.
Wasn't Collins the guy who was running it before this? That kook with his guitar?
HHS?
No. The whole NIH. HHS. I'm sorry. Collins.
No, HHS was Becerra, I think.
Oh, well, that guy's even worse.
No, Bejarano's got no creds. I mean, he's just a California lawyer.
We continue.
What would be his powers as he oversees all these agencies?
He would be very powerful.
You know, tremendous. I'll give you an example. The CDC has an advisory committee that recommends to the CDC what vaccines to give and when to give them. Mm-hmm. Well, the HHA secretary appoints the voting members of that advisory committee. So
Laftel. Oh, yeah, that committee, which we know is all shills.
Of that advisory committee. So even without official changes, the views of somebody at the top of such a powerful organization can affect public opinion. So if there's doubts, for example, about vaccines, that can trickle down and perhaps increase vaccine hesitancy.
Oh, no. All I've ever heard Kennedy say is, yeah, I just want people to know, and I don't want to force them. I don't want to force their kids to take this stuff, which, of course, is very bad. Dr. LaPook, you're not just a doctor and chief medical officer, but what are your colleagues think of this?
What do your colleagues, what do other doctors make of RFK Jr. and make of this job?
You know, there's agreement and even excitement about the idea of making America healthier, decreasing obesity and improving our diets.
Where
the concern comes in is there's belief and there's evidence. And when belief doesn't square with evidence, you either change the belief, that's science,
no evidence.
or you cherry pick the evidence. And there's concern among my colleagues about holding on to belief in the face of contradictory evidence.
How concerning is it that people believe these things nowadays?
Oh, loaded question.
It was once when this was believed to be settled fact, right? Science, fact.
In the 1950s, the high watermark, you know, when polio for vaccine
agreement, of course,
in the government, vaccines were given for polio, like 2 million people got it at a time when people were so terrified about what these infections can do. But now people don't even remember what measles, mumps, rubella, most people haven't seen it. Diphtheria, whooping cough. That's one of the problems. When public health is working, nothing happens. And so people don't appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, don't get us started on the measles Brady Bunch. I do want to go to Tina Smith. Tina Smith, the Democrat from Minnesota.
Who's this?
Tina Smith, the Democrat from Minnesota. And she, her task was to, her attack vector was SSRIs and other stuff that science can't actually explain how it works, but we know it works. You just might have to take Relenza or Cybalta or some extra thing that increases it and you're on it forever and you feel great.
In an interview in 2023 and again in 2024, you blamed school shootings on antidepressants. You said, and this is a quote, "There is no time in American history or human history that kids were going to shoot schools and shooting their classmates. It really started happening coterminous with the introduction of these drugs, with Prozac and with other drugs." So do you believe, as you've said, that antidepressants cause school shootings? This is a should be a simple question.
I don't think anybody can answer that question, and I didn't answer that question. I said it should be studied along with other potential culprits.
So they may cause
social media.
What? Gaming. You forgot gaming.
But I don't know. I would never make, because there's no science on that.
Well,
Senator.
There is, Senator. There is, Mr. Kennedy.
Thank you for the promotion.
The science shows that there is no link.
Joke.
What?
You get the line in there. Thanks for the promotion.
Yeah. This is so good.
Mr. Kennedy.
Thank you for the promotion.
The science shows that there is no link between school shootings and antidepressants. And in fact, most school shooters were not even treated with antidepressants. And of those that were, there was no evidence of association. You know,
I don't think you can say that, Senator, because HIPAA rules, nobody knows.
Well, that is, Mr. Kennedy, do you think that people who take antidepressants are dangerous?
Yeah. Well, I just went on from there. Have you, is my neighbor on antidepressants going to kill me? Oh, yeah. These people are just the worst. I thought the funniest was Bernie Sanders. Bernie was like,
I'm glad you got these clips, because I had to stop at some point.
Oh, yeah, it was too much.
This is actually a shock to me, because I thought Bernie would be on the side of Kennedy.
Yeah.
And somebody, like you said, the only thing you can assume is somebody bumped up to him and said, hey, you know, Bernie.
Hey, I got a gotcha, man. It's going to look great. Your profile's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, see this? Look at this photo.
Hey, look at this. What's that in your mouth, Bernie?
I think the gist of what you were trying to say today is you really pro-vaccine, you want to ask questions, You have started a group called the Children's Health Defense. You're the originator. Right now, as I understand it, on their website, they are selling what's called onesies. These are little things, clothing for babies. One of them is titled Unfaxed, Unafraid. Next one, and they're sold for $26 a piece, by the way. Next one is No Vax, No Problem. Now, you're coming before this committee, and you say you're pro-vaccine. Just want to ask some questions. And yet your organization is making money selling a child's product to parents for $26, which casts fundamental doubt on the usefulness of vaccines. Can you tell us now that you will, now that you are pro-vaccine, that you're going to have your organization take these products off the market?
Senator, I have no power over that organization. I'm not part of it. I resigned from the board.
Yeah, that was just a few months ago. You founded that. You certainly have power. You can make that power. Are you supportive of this?
I've had nothing to do with
leadership. Are you supportive of these onesies?
I'm supportive of vaccines.
Can you imagine that someone wrote down in his script, you have to say, are you supportive of these onesies? These onesies are an outrage.
That's actually a sub clip. Which, are you supportive of these onesies? Now, the other thing is his preoccupation with this $26. Does he think that's a jip or what? I mean, what is he so preoccupied? Who cares about the price? Oh, well, but the portions are so small.
Oh, man, I'm sorry he has to go through all that. I'm sorry for all these people. These people are sad and pathetic. They really are.
The onesies.
Yeah, what's my script, boss? You're going to take the onesies, Bernie. Oh, I want to take the SSRIs. Part of
these onesies.
I want to take the SSRIs. I got the onesie. What did you get? Yeah, I got MMR. Oh, it's not all that great, is it? Oh. Can we move away from this? Do you have any more?
Yeah, I think you're... Well, I do have the summary clip from NTD, which is kind of, I guess, worth playing.
Yeah.
This is the Kennedy rundown.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. spent hours in front of the Senate Finance Committee Wednesday making statements and answering questions on day one of his nomination hearings.
There is no single culprit in chronic disease. Much as I have criticized certain industries and agencies, President Trump and I understand that most of their scientists and experts genuinely care about American health. Therefore, we will bring together all stakeholders in pursuit of this unifying goal.
Kennedy is scheduled for 2 days of hearings, which will be followed by a full Senate vote on whether or not to confirm him as the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Many senators probed Kennedy about his stance on vaccines. Senator Ron Wyden alleged that Kennedy has embraced conspiracy theories, especially on the safety and efficacy of vaccines.
He has made it his life's work to sow doubt and discourage parents from getting their kids life-saving vaccines.
But Kennedy pushed back, saying that he's not anti-vaccine or anti-industry, but he is pro-safety.
I worked for years to raise awareness about the mercury and toxic chemicals in fish, and nobody called me any fish.
You know what a guy like Kennedy really needs? He needs, and not just because I can do it, but someone like me who can sit there with the vast array of No Agenda clips in our archive and just go, oh, yeah, here's what he really said. Boom, hit the clip. You know, that's what he needs, because it's all, they're just lying, all of them. They lie. And they twist it and they make different terms.
Well, it's because they have an agenda.
Yeah, but that's why the No Agenda has to be there. Speaking of which... we have our debutante who came out this week. Her name is Press Secretary Leavitt. Leavitt to Beaver.
Leavitt to Beaver.
Leavitt. Caroline? Caroline? Is it Caroline? Caroline, I think.
I don't know.
Caroline Leavitt, who is 27.
Yeah, she's the youngest press secretary in history.
I can't imagine any of our daughters doing this job. So, and she's... I mean, she's getting her sea legs, But this was something that everybody had to send me an email about.
This White House believes strongly in the First Amendment. So it's why our team will work diligently to restore the press passes of the 440 journalists whose passes were wrongly revoked by the previous administration. We're also opening up this briefing room to new media voices who produce news-related content and whose outlet is not already represented by one of the seats in this room. We welcome independent journalists, podcasters, Woo! Social media influencers, and content creators to apply for credentials to cover this White House.
Again, podcasting's come a long way. And just the amount, I don't know if you got any. No, probably you get nothing.
I got a couple.
You know, like, are you going to apply for credentials? Like, no. Why in the world would we cover media? We deconstruct media. We don't want to be the media.
That's true. And the second thing that should be noted, by the way, 7,200 podcasters have applied.
How do you know? I didn't hear about that.
It was a news report that came out. Somebody, I think, came out of the White House.
That's a lot. That's more than I expected.
And they said the thing was that it has to be a daily publication, which eliminates us immediately.
Oh, we're out. We're done. The thing is, if you go to the website, whitehouse.gov/newmedia, you get a landing page, which is eopera.my.site.com, which is in a frame of the White House, and says, interested in joining a future White House press briefing? Share your information below. And then there's a button that says, siguiente, which I think is Spanish for enter. What does siguiente mean?
I don't know.
Let's look it up.
Probably does mean enter.
Siguiente.
Or go home.
Go away. Let me see. This means, next. Oh, next. It means next, I guess. Okay. So by
here. Oh, next. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sequente. That would be sequence. It'd be from the root
next
sequence.
In the sequence. So I hit next. Yeah. And yeah, then it has sense. First name. What is your first name? Introduza hasta 200 caracteres. So this thing is in Spanish. It's the craziest thing.
Huh. Well, no maybe one you just had the Spanish. You're in the Spanish.
No.
Track.
No, it's all. I've tried the VPN. It's all. That's like, you know.
Are you on a VPN?
I've tried it on. I'm not on a VPN now, but I've tried it on VPN for different countries. I keep getting. It's the same. I get the same form.
Interesting.
It's unprofessional is what it is.
Well,
it's lame. Okay. Like, how come the podcasters have to all speak Spanish? And what are you doing?
See.
Anyway, so no, we are not going to apply for press credentials. And I guess we don't even qualify. But no. We're not going to do that. We are the media. Podcasts are now the media. We will have to deconstruct podcasts, which is okay.
We're starting to do that.
And this is, I'll just give my mini spiel here. This is why we need people starting hyper-local podcasts, because there's no way that any human being can go through Rogan and Megyn Kelly and Victor Davis Hanson and Tucker Carlson and Call Her Daddy. And you need people in your community who are doing that, distilling it down so that when you're walking down the street, you can say, hey, what I heard you were talking about that. What's going on? Hyperlocalpodcast.com. It'll get you started. The people are very interested in doing this. They really, and also, what does it mean to your community?
Pod Angeles.
Yes, exactly. No, Mimi's got the right idea. Now,
yeah, she does.
We are anachronism, so that I'm trying to use my new word.
You got it. You nailed it.
So that is why, you know, people still tune into us, because we now are hyper-local. We're a hyper-local community of interest. And we've been around long enough in our 18th year, but essentially we're doing the same thing. You know, come to us. We'll distill it down. We'll give you some ideas. We'll play some clips, except we can't talk about your specific neighborhood. And we certainly never talk about Canada. Now, along these lines, I would like to promote Dvorak.substack.com. Where, you know, you don't promote that enough. I heard you promote it on DH Unplugged.
Yeah.
You should promote that more often.
And I should, you know, I'm not good at promotion. It's pretty apparent.
D-V-O-R-A-K.
D-V-O-R-A-K. That we should, we need somebody to do a jingle that with spelling my name.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that right after Dvorak.org/NA, which I'm sure you've already made to forward to noagendadonations.com, which Tina asks me about every other day.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
No, you're acting like NBC.
No, she comes every, she says, oh, how's that microphone company coming? She says, about as good as the vinegar book.
All right.
Okay. About as good as the vinegar book. And then she'll say, oh, yeah, how about the donation page? Yeah, that's okay. Hey, it's all right. I love you regardless. It's okay.
Okay.
I don't need another company.
Get to work, Dvorak. That's how much you love me. Get to work. Newsletter didn't pay off. Lousy donations, thanks to you.
Oh, excuse me. You're like, donations are great. It was the newsletter. Yeah, okay, fine. You want to take that side of the coin. It doesn't matter because I think there's a big future for you.
By the way, Spam Assassin is out to get us. Spam Assassin is the reason a lot of people don't get the newsletter. Yeah. If you have anything to do with Spam Assassin, that's a lousy operation because they have blocked us and make our a newsletter. People subscribe to this newsletter. It's not spam.
I think we can. I think there's a way to unblock ourselves from Spam Assassin. You can go into Spam Assassin and say, no, this is good. And what happens is the way these things get on the block list is some jabroni hits block. That's how it happens. The whole email is broken, just like everything. The only thing that still works is podcasts. And this is where I was leading up to. Since you have a Substack, you should do a Substack Live. Substack Live. Look, even Jim Acosta's doing it. Hey, guys. Hold on. I love
him. He's going to make a lot of money, that guy.
Hey, guys.
You know, wait, before you play this, which I'm glad you got.
Yeah.
And by the way, it is Substack, Dvorak.substack.com. You can read what Adam was trying to promote there was the freak show column I just wrote describing the freak show that we're literally getting from the Democrats.
Yes.
You know, people with the blue hair and the nose rings and the gauged ears and the whole thing. They're all Democrats.
Yeah. It was a groovy old man post.
A lot of people like the structure.
It's a classic Dvorak structure. Classic. That's why I bring it up.
Well, I'm glad you did, by the way.
And I think you should get your phone. And you should, it has a camera. I know it has a camera. And you should do it. We're going,
I think you got the wrong idea. No.
Substack Live. Here he is. Hi, guys. It's Dvorak here.
No. I've got, as you noted in the tip of the day, I have the three-way, the three-channel car cam.
From your car. Do it from your car.
And I have that. I can point the camera at me in the driver's seat, and I can do my podcast from the car like a pro.
Let me tell you, I would pay good money to see you do a Substack Live from the Lexus. You have no idea. Let me be your manager for a moment. Instant bestseller. we'll put a gold star on it. Instant bestseller if you do Substack Live. And here is your example. This is your leader, Jim Acosta.
Hey, guys. It's Jim. And let me just say this. I've had quite the day. But as you could see earlier today, this was my last day at CNN. And I did want to jump on Substack Live here for a moment and say, welcome to my new venture. I'm going independent, at least for now. This is just the beginning, but I wanted to invite you to join me here on this platform as we talk about the day's news, talk about politics, and so on. And I do want to, and just in case you missed my closing message earlier
in
the day, don't give in to the lies. Don't give in to fear. Hold on to the truth and hope.
And we'll
keep this conversation going. Great to see all of you here. We'll talk some more soon.
And I think you should sign off like that. Don't give in to the fear. Don't keep your hope alive. And I'll see you soon. We'll keep the conversation going. That is how you do it. That is your example for Dvorak.
The guy's slick.
Alive from the Lexus, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, it's an instant topper, chart topper, winner. iTunes is ready to put you on top.
I'm all in, but I think it's going to come off as the tech grouch.
Well, then wear the beard. It's fine. Do the tech grouch.
I got the beard. I still have the costume.
Yeah, and then just do straight up, you know, news.
Grouch. The straight tech up. Grouch. Yeah.
Speaking of mainstream, of course, we have a new FCC chair, and wouldn't you know it?
The FCC has reinstated complaints against CBS, ABC, and NBC regarding last fall's presidential election. New Republican Chairman Brendan Carr brought back these cases after they were dismissed in the final days of the Biden administration. Notably, a complaint against Fox News will not be reinstated. The CBS complaint accuses the network 60 Minutes of editing an interview with Kamala Harris, claiming it distorted news to benefit her campaign. ABC faces a complaint for alleged bias during Harris's debate with Donald Trump, where moderators were accused of favored treatment. NBC is under fire for a Saturday Night Live episode that featured Harris without a similar opportunity for Trump. Former FCC chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel dismissed all four complaints just before leaving office. Carr, who has been vocal in support of Trump, promises to address these issues as FCC chair. The reinstatements may signal a shift in oversight of broadcast media.
Yeah, baby. This is good. This is good. Well, this is going after him. I like it.
Have an associated clip.
All right.
Which is the where is it?
I don't know.
It's the Meta lawsuit paid.
Oh yes, yes. is this the Mega clips?
No, Meta.
Yeah, I was gonna. Well, you never know. You know
the Mega clips are coming.
You never know.
Facebook parent Meta is agreeing to pay $25 million to settle a lawsuit filed by President Trump against the company after it suspended his accounts following the January 6 attack on the Capitol. Just the latest settling of litigation with the president, who threatened retribution on his critics and rivals. Meta and CEO Mark Zuckerberg are among the billionaires who sought to ingratiate themselves with Trump since he won re-election.
Oh, I think I have a little better clip because it has.
I hope so.
Yeah, because it. Let me see if I hear. here we go. This is where's this from? This is from NBC. Of course, NBC. It's going
to
be great.
Let's get to some breaking news into us out of the White House and from Silicon Valley. President Trump, we've learned, has signed an agreement with Meta to settle a lawsuit that he filed against the company for suspending his account after the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, 4 years ago. The settlement, we understand, to be $25 million. Most of which is going towards his future presidential library. This story first was reported by the Wall Street Journal. Meta says it has no comment on that, but says they can confirm that $22 million number to the Trump library. Garrett Hake is at the White House.
All right, Garrett.
This is so interesting for a lot of reasons here. And I know you've just confirmed this with some of your sources here.
Your sources are great, Garrett.
There is a fascinating detail in the initial Wall Street Journal article that I should note NBC News has not confirmed. It says
not confirmed, but it's fascinating, and it's a detail. So let's go to the White House. He's standing in front of the White House. It's so official.
For the end of the November dinner. So this is a dinner that we've reported on, or at least a visit to Mar-a-Lago by Mark Zuckerberg went down after Donald Trump won the election.
Why are they talking? Hold on a second. Why are these women reporters for NBC? This is the second one. This is a different woman. Talk so fast.
Oh, the new shipment of snow came in, if you know what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Soon to be President Trump raised the matter of the lawsuit, the people said. The president signaled that the litigation had to be resolved before Zuckerberg could be, quote unquote, brought into the tent, according to one of these sources speaking with the Wall Street Journal, Garrett.
He can be brought into the tent. There's no evidence this was said. There's no evidence. But they go on and on about, oh, Trump said, well, you can't be brought into the tent. Into the tent, my brother. I mean, does that even sound like Trump?
No, not at all.
We can't bring you into the tent, Zuck. And meanwhile, now this, wow, another opportunity. Another one for you. I'm excited about this. You really need to get the Lexus Mobile cranked up, the 2006 Lexus, with your
2005.
Whoa. I'm sorry. Don't want to insult you. With your three-way camera, whatever it is, your tech grouch beard, because there's instant guaranteed cash.
Meta is making a bold play to attract TikTok creators by offering up to $5,000 to influencers who join Facebook and Instagram. With TikTok's future in the U.S. uncertain, This breakthrough bonus program is a tempting opportunity for creators. To qualify, you need to post at least 20 reels on Facebook and 10 on Instagram every month, all original content. But here's the catch. It's only for those who've never posted on either platform before. Plus, accepted creators get perks like a free verification subscription. Woo! Meta isn't stopping there. They've launched Edits, a CapCut-like app, and revamped Instagram's layout to mimic TikTok. While some users are frustrated with these changes, it's clear Meta is serious about dominating the short-form video space.
You can, I mean, this is great. It's $5,000. I'm going to top that with a newsletter. This is good stuff. This is cash money, money in the bank. Okay, I want to just stick with this, in this area for a second, because this is probably the best Truth Wants to Come Out clip I've heard this year. I know we're only a couple weeks into it, but it's the best this year. So Vivek Ramaswamy
is an ache.
All of a sudden, he drops out of the Department of Governmental Efficiency. Yeah. You know, it's very shady. I mean, he walked in as part of the cabinet during the inauguration, and then he's kind of out. And he's like, oh, no, he can't really talk about it, but he's probably going to run for the Ohio Senate seat and everything. But the truth came out in his discussion with Jesse Waters, and you'll love it.
So we're hearing you're leaving Doge after like three Scaramucci's. What happened?
Well, the reality is I'm pursuing elected office very shortly. We'll have an announcement soon. But Jesse, things are off to a great start. I think President Trump has proven, look at the actions that he took in that first week, the most pro-merit president I think we've had in a long time. And as for my vision grounded in constitutional law and the future of the country, I think it's best pursued through elected office. And I'm confident that they're going to succeed in slashing and burning that federal bureaucracy.
People are saying you didn't get along with Musk. What happened there?
Yeah, I think that's incorrect. But what I would say is we had different and complementary approaches. I focused more on a constitutional law, legislative-based approach. He focused more on a technology approach, which is the future approach. No better person to lead that technology.
Did you hear it?
No.
Broge. He said broge instead of doge. Because, of course, that is what he's saying behind closed doors. This is just broge, man. It's just the tech bros. The tech bros have broge.
Play it again so I can hear it, because I was listening as hard as I could for the Truth Wants to Come Out, but I knew that he said broge before, because I'd read about it.
I never heard him say it, but here it is.
No, I read about it. I never heard him say it. I just read about it.
Constitutional law, legislative-based approach. He focused more on a technology approach, which is the future approach. No better person to lead.
Broge. Come on. It's the broge.
Oh, you know what I heard? I heard it was the future approach.
No, future of broge. He said broge.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
I didn't hear it because I heard something else.
Well, okay. Speaking of the future of broge, well, breaking news, CNBC, breaking.
X is striking a deal with Visa to be the first partner for what it is calling the X Money account. Since buying Twitter in 2022, Elon Musk has talked about turning the social media site into a, quote, everything app, where users could send payments and store cash. By using the payment rails of Visa, the world's biggest credit card network, X users can move funds between traditional bank accounts and the X Money account. They can store funds there and also make instant peer-to-peer payments with other X users, like with Zelle or Venmo, I'm told. The X Money service is expected to launch in the first quarter, and deals with more financial partners are likely, said one person with knowledge of the matter.
Nah,
one of the first use cases for X Money is so that creators on the site can accept payments and store funds without using external banks, I'm told. Minutes ago, X-Corp CEO Linda Iaccarino said in a post that it is, quote, first of many big announcements about X Money this year.
Hugh, I have a question about regulation with regard to social media. Is it different for a partnership like this than it would be, say, for more traditional interchanges with financial partners?
Yeah, Leslie, it's a fascinating question because, you know, X Money, Twitter has been accumulating money transmitter licenses.
Listening to this guy, I think you're right about the delivery of the snowballs or whatever however you put it.
The snowstorm.
It's another guy yakking away like a maniac.
Interchanges with financial partners?
Yeah, Leslie, it's a fascinating question because, you know, X Money, Twitter has been accumulating money transmitter licenses in more than 30 states over the past year. So they're going to be what's more like Stripe or other fintech intermediaries, where they're going to be able to provide banking-like services without really going to the work of being a regulated bank. And so I would think that there is some element of the banking universe, think community banks, think smaller banks, which are going to potentially protest this incursion by technology.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know, man. I don't know if people will trust their Twitter account with their money. I'm not so sure.
Bringing Visa in is probably a smart idea because they have a brand name.
He's doing that. Well, I think he's doing that because of Plaid. Visa owns Plaid. I think they own Plaid. I think they acquired Plaid. And Plaid is the connector. That's how Venmo does it. That's how Cash App does it. Everyone, you know, so it's maybe for the street, but I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. Which brings us to the contentious conversation we need to have. But I actually think we're both on the same side of this, but maybe approach it from slightly different vectors. I like this. It's my new word today. Vectors.
Today's word is vector.
No, it's anachronism. That's the secret word. We go to NPR for some in-depth reporting on DeepSeek.
Tech stocks have plummeted around the world over the past day as Investors Digest reports that a Chinese company developed a competitive AI model on the cheap.
The company is called DeepSeek, and it even caught President Trump's eye.
The release of DeepSeek.
By the way, there's something with the president's voice here.
And by the way, CheapSeek is what I call it.
I know. I heard it. It was funny. But, you know, you already used it on DH Unplugged as a title. So
I can't use it again.
So it's not even funny. I already heard it. It's not even funny anymore. CheapSeek. The president's voice is very weak here, and it's uncharacteristic. That could be the mic-ing. I don't know.
Competitive AI model on the cheap.
The company is called DeepSeek, and it even caught President Trump's eye.
The release of DeepSeek AI from a Chinese company should be a wake-up call for our industries that we need to be laser-focused on competing to win.
And Pierre's John Ruwich is on the line now from China to help make sense of how big a deal this actually is.
We've got a guy in China.
Hi there.
So, first of all, tell us about this company that many people, including me, just heard of now.
Yeah, DeepSeek is a spinoff from a Chinese hedge fund. It was established just 2 years ago in 2023, and it's based in the eastern city of Hangzhou, which is sort of a tech hub here in China. In a nutshell, what they did was hire a bunch of top-notch engineers and develop new algorithms, basically more efficient ways of training and running artificial intelligence with less computational power.
And what's the significance of that?
Well, the product is said to rival tools from competitors like OpenAI and Google in terms of what it can do, things like analyzing data and solving complex problems. It's impressed a lot of people. It rattled markets. And what rattled the markets is the narrative, which comes with some caveats, that DeepSeek basically did it all cheaper, quicker, and with less powerful microprocessors than its big competitors.
It's no surprise this comes out of Hangzhou, because it's a very Hangzhou type of company. I couldn't resist. Well, one more clip and then we'll discuss.
Okay, so tell us more about those caveats.
Sure. The first one is around cost. DeepSeek says that it spent under $6 million to make this thing. That's tiny relative to the hundreds of millions of dollars that others are investing, even billions. But analysts say that low figure is easy to misinterpret because it doesn't include, for instance, the cost of developing various versions from which this latest version was distilled.
Okay.
So we don't know what the total development cost was, how inexpensive it was. The second caveat has to do with the hardware, has to do with the chips that are critical to developing AI.
Okay, tell us more about that. The Biden administration banned the best AI microprocessors from being sold to China. Were they able to get around it?
It's tricky. You know, the chips that really matter for AI are made by NVIDIA, which, by the way, took a massive tumble on the stock market after the DeepSeek news. Back in 2022, NVIDIA were told they couldn't sell their best product to China. Of course, some of those chips were already there. Some may have leaked in, but they made a slightly downgraded version at the time that they could sell to China legally. That's what DeepSeek says it used to train its latest model. the Biden administration subsequently decided that those chips were actually too powerful. They banned those ones from being sold to China, too. That was in 2023. A year had passed. The horse was sort of out of the barn. Here's Gregory Allen, the director of the Wadhwani AI Center at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington.
We are currently living through the era of the lagging impact of the Biden administration's misfire in that first batch of AI export controls.
All right. So you've looked at this. I heard some of your conversation. I have some thoughts as well. I'd love to hear what your take is on CheapSeek.
On CheapSeek, well, a couple of things. This was discussed, and people should go back and listen to DH Unplugged, which we don't promote enough on the show.
Which is on Wednesdays, Wednesday night. You do it live.
But it's a podcast. It's a podcast. You can always download it.
Listen to it. It's very good. Although Andrew is getting a little, he's getting a little uppity. I think he lost money. I think he lost money on this somehow. I don't think he, which is not good because Tina has her retirement fund with him. I think he lost money bigly somehow. He's
I really don't. He seems pretty chipper to me. I don't know what you're thinking.
He sounded uppity. You know, like he was choppy and you know like slicey.
Well, he was. Maybe what he does, I maybe subscribe to the bull crap about you think that all AI is crap. So
I do.
so that's a little different than what I think. And I think that what CheapSeek is doing here is doing things best price, which is to look, because the reason I'm going to say this is because I ran a What Is the No Agenda show. Somebody sent me a link to it to a CheapSeek results on What's the No Agenda show, and it was a rundown of the show, and it was pretty accurate. And I said, this is pretty good. And so I decided to do the same search on Perplexity and Grok and ChatGPT, and they all had the same elements within them, although they weren't summarized as well. And I'm getting the impression that CheapSeek is using probably a distributed system to go into the other systems, take their stuff, and use the AI mechanism to take that stuff as the language model that they want to use and then just shrink it down a little more and give it back to you. I just don't think they're doing anything from an original from a point of originality. I think they're derivative. I think this is something of a scam.
So I downloaded,
because the results were basically the same.
Sure. Well,
as the other guys, only it wasn't as much of it. They just shortened it down.
No, I have a slightly different take. I downloaded the R1 V3 model and some of the other ones, and I run that here locally, which is, that's kind of, to me, the story is it's all open source, and you know, it'll just come down to compute. How much compute do you have to run it fast for you know, millions of users?
On your little B links.
That's on my start nine, but equivalent. I disconnected network access, so it could not go out to the internet.
Out and cheat.
It couldn't go out and cheat. So I think it's what they call a model distillation. And really the thing is, these are not benchmarks, you know. Tell me about the No Agenda show. So what? I mean, go to Wikipedia. I mean, that's where it's getting it from. But I think that what I'm happy
about... Actually, it's not.
Well, what I'm happy about is that this will only accelerate the entropy. There's just more crap that's going to come out. They're done. No one has any more data to scrape. So this model, you know, Sam Altman apparently is already saying, they stole our data. Well, you stole it from us in the first place, you douche. You're stealing everything. Everything, it has to degrade sooner or later. And it's still...
Not if you lock it down.
It's still not really impressive. You know, yeah, it can write an email. Yeah, it can. I use it for Bible scripture. And, you know, it ingested every single book of the Bible, every translation. What?
What do you mean you use it for Bible scripture? You're writing tracts, or you're doing what are you using it for Bible scripture for?
If I want to find a Bible passage about a certain situation, it can usually come up with something.
You still use one of those Bible search engines? There's a bunch of them, and they have all the different versions of the Bible.
So they've ingested that. So the inference is, I want a scripture that talks about this. And then you can say, and by the way, answer me as a Southern Baptist pastor. It's hilarious. Let me tell you, my friend. No, it's so it does that kind of stuff. I think it's really good for repetitive tasks if you can train your own model, which eventually will be coming. But it's just none of it's really impressive. You
really
to me.
Just test this.
It's not impressive.
There's a note of detestation.
Well, yes, there is. I want it to die. I want it to die a horrible death. I love that.
Why?
Because it's annoying. It's annoying.
What's annoying about it?
What's annoying to me is that everywhere I turn, there's AI. I mean, so now France comes out with an AI chatbot that they were going to put into the schools.
Don't find this hilarious? I mean, no, I think it's humorous.
No, it's good for the show. But then I go, someone sends me a report. It's a crappy AI voice reading a report about AI.
Welcome to Generative AI News. Today, we delve into the story of Lucy, France's ambitious AI chatbot that recently made headlines for all the wrong reasons. Launched with high hopes and national pride, Lucy was designed to embody European values and challenge the dominance of English language AI tools. Backed by President Macron and public funds, it aimed to promote cultural diversity and digital sovereignty. However, just days after its launch, Lucy faced widespread criticism for providing inaccurate and nonsensical responses. Users reported that the chatbot made historical inaccuracies, such as stating that Herod the Great played a role in developing the atomic bomb, and bizarre claims like cow's eggs being a healthy food source. These errors led to mockery and concern, especially when it was revealed that Lucy was intended for use in French schools. In response to the backlash, Linagora, the French open source software firm leading the project, temporarily suspended Lucy. They acknowledged that the chatbot was an academic research project in its early stages and admitted that the launch was premature. The firm expressed regret, stating, "We got carried away by our own enthusiasm." This incident highlights the challenges and complexities of developing AI tools that are both accurate and culturally relevant.
So I guess maybe my, I'm trying to think, I love that story.
I mean, come on.
No, I'm trying to examine where my disdain comes from. And I think it comes from this promise. And I have friends who are, I mean, it's the same friend who tells me he can't wait to pull up with his flying car and park it in my front yard. I'm like, Vic, it's not going to happen.
You're going to bring some cow eggs over.
You know, now he's also selling AI into where it works. It's like telemarketing, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, humans, it's go humans. We're going to have to come back to humans because it's like the hoverboard. It's never really going to pay off. They made a huge mistake by releasing ChatGPT, and you know, and they did it all for greed. It's all for money. Sam Altman drives a $4 million EV. I know. It's disdain for Broge. It's disdain for Silicon Valley. It's disdain for the wasted energy and just nonsense. And it's eventually, we saw what happened. One little blip and, you know, 600 billion.
As a child of Silicon Valley, which you are, whether you like it or not, This is unbelievable to listen to this.
I am the antithesis to Silicon Valley. The antithesis.
You've gone out and done your Silicon Valley
and I hated it.
Crap.
And I hated it.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. You hated it.
Because it sucks. It's horrible. It's not an efficient way to progress technology. I like the open source stuff, but no one is coming. It's all parlor tricks. Nothing is impressive. Nothing is without error. And you know, the only thing that this may show is that by running smaller language models, you'll get mistakes cheaper. Yeah, what is that?
I didn't even see that coming.
What is it really telling me? But oh no, we've got to get it into government.
OpenAI has launched ChatGPT Gov, a new platform specifically designed for U.S. government use, which builds upon the security features of ChatGPT Enterprise. This new product enables government agencies to implement sensitive non-public data into OpenAI's models while maintaining the security of their own hosting environments. Since the start of 2024, over 90,000 government employees at various levels have utilized ChatGPT to generate over 18 million prompts for tasks such as document translation and summarization, policy memo drafting, code generation, and application development.
I mean, it says something when Apple stock goes up because they have been very cautious and, like, you know, we're not really putting much, we're going to brand it a little bit, kind of, but there really has been no innovation in technology since the smartphone. I mean, has there really been anything exciting and new. And now it's already, oh, it's Chinese. You can't run this. They're spying on you. Oh, I'm so tired of it. I'm just tired. It's funny for the show. It's funny. So I don't mind that. But it's just where, show me something, you know, give me my hoverboard. You know, this constant and hundreds of billions of dollars, just send it to us for the show. Stop. You don't understand my complaint?
No.
No. No, it doesn't understand. Okay. Oh. It's
but I admire it because you're consistent.
Yeah, I mean, do you use...
You don't vary, you're not wavering.
Do you use AI or ChatGPT in your daily life regularly, and do you find it efficient?
Yeah.
Tell me what you use it for. I told you the one thing I use it for.
Instead of search engines, I'll use Perplexity or some... by the way, when they make mistakes, which they do, it's obvious. Because it says, what is this? This is bullcrap. This is not even close to anything that I'm interested in.
Right.
Or it's just off. These numbers aren't accurate. Then you can go double check them using a regular search engine.
Right. So you just basically wasted time and back and had to do extra work.
Now, if I was going to complain about it, I would say it's the same thing as the problem you have with hand calculator. In schools, kids they can't do math in their heads. And so you go to a grocery store and you give somebody a $2 bill for $1.50 item, and they give you $21.50 in change because they put it into the machine. Into the
machine, right.
And so the machine tells them you just gave them $2, and the machine tells them to give you $21 back. And they see that number, and that's what they pull right out of the till. This has happened to me more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because nobody's aware of anything. There's just a lack of awareness. And I'm fearful that because of the lack of awareness of reality, at some point, the next generation coming up, or the Z's, or whoever comes after them, will start to see this stuff as they'll be unable to look at a result and say, no, this can't be right.
Right.
Which is what you would do at the cash register. But that's done. No one can do it. They can't, as I mentioned this on the show before, I'm at the store and one kid who's walking past and he says, oh, it's 3:00. We got to get out of here. And the other kid says to him, oh, you can read clock?
You can read clock. It's like Chinese. You can read Chinese or you can read clock?
Wow. So the kid says, you can read clock. He says, yeah. And he said, oh, wow. And then they leave, they send them on their way. But when I heard that phrase, I said, oh, my God, this is not good. And this is like, you know, the people can't read cursive. They can't read clock. And they won't be able to see that a Perplexity result is bullcrap. So that's what my concern is.
Right. Well, that kind
But your theory is that because it's going to deteriorate to such an extreme that we won't get to my fear.
No. Well, my hope is that it deteriorates to an extreme. So, for instance, so I used ChatGPT because you questioned this, and I said, here was my question. Find Bible scripture when I'm annoyed by an older colleague. And it sends, it's very good. It sends back Leviticus 19:32.
Leviticus, the worst, by the way.
Stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. There you go. So
Mimi says. Mimi says that, gee, Adam's acting a lot nicer towards you. I wonder why. And I said, it's because he's become born again.
That's right.
And she says, no, that can't be it. But now you have just actually confirmed what my theory was.
It is.
Again, I'm right on the money.
Yeah, and I didn't need ChatGPT to tell you are right. Absolutely. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, even slower to get angry. Yes, that's correct. I know you get a kick out of it.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually believe you did this lookup.
Yeah, of course I did. Of course I did. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, I did. Well,
thanks. Yeah.
It's good for that. Let's talk about getting fired, because I have several boots on we have several boots on the ground reports, which I think are interesting because they, from our audience, because they go a little bit against the narrative. We go back to Ms. Leavitt to Beaver regarding the mass federal employee buyout.
We want to start with the administration's offer to buy with a mass buyout to federal employees out there. How many do you hope will take it? And by what percentage does the president want to downsize the federal workforce?
Well, good morning, Michael. It's great to see you. Thanks for having me on the program. This is another promise made and kept by President Trump. He told the American people on the campaign trail that he was going to make our federal government more efficient and productive. And it is a fact that only 6% of the federal workforce here in Washington, D.C. actually shows up to the office. That is completely unacceptable. Middle-class Americans, our teachers, our nurses, our law enforcement officers who keep this economy working, show up to the office every single day, and President Trump expects that federal employees do the same. So his order, as presented in that memo last night, directs federal agencies to come up with a return to work policy for their agencies. And if federal bureaucrats in this city don't like that, well, guess what? They can resign from their positions, and this administration is offering them 8 months of pay. They will be paid through September just to simply resign from their positions.
Now, what I thought was interesting is that when this order came out, kind of the same day, I kept receiving emails from people saying, keep me anonymous. This is going around. Everyone's forwarding this.
I took the memo that you had it too.
Yeah.
Somebody sent us the entire memo. I cut and pasted the appropriate part and put it in the last newsletter that a lot of people didn't get because they're not complaining to spam assassin that the newsletter is not showing up. But it was in there. You could read it yourself if you were.
Yeah, but my point here is that it was policy. It wasn't like some secret thing, but this is kind of how broken the whole system is.
I agree.
So here's boots on the ground. Adam, I have to weigh.
The memo is out there. I mean, what? Yeah. Anonymous. Okay.
I have to weigh in on all the stuff happening with Trump and the federal workforce, mostly because this is complete bullcrap. Fork in the road. That was the title of the email. Fork in the road. Okay. Here it is. I work from home and I work my ass off. And a lot of us do. I'm a team lead HR specialist for CBP, Customs Border Patrol. I don't mind going to work every day in person, but can we have a little respect? There's a ton of waste, systems that don't work, lazy and overpaid people. Things need to change. But getting people to quit isn't actually going to fix the problem. It's literally just a publicity stunt. I cut down the federal government. No, you got a bunch of people quit because you didn't fix anything. We're just going to hire everyone back. I guess I'm really frustrated because they just introduced a new HR payroll system at CBP that's a complete failure. We have to go with the new system because we spent too much already. Pay gets delayed. Our hands are tied due to system glitches. No one is going to be held accountable. It's all bull crap. And we, on the lower level, are left to take the blame for leadership and programmers' bad work. So as much as I don't regret voting for Trump, don't talk to me about forks in the road and the self-righteous bull crap. It's a publicity stunt. I lived through the vax mandate. I'll live through this because people still need to get paid and someone needs to sort through people's mistakes. Mistakes made by the higher-ups that we get blamed for. Draining the swamp, my ass. It should be steady and meticulous. I see waste every day. Maybe they should ask me. But insulting your whole workforce and getting people to quit won't change anything. It's a scam. I think we need Doge to the rescue.
Wow.
That's
a guy's on a roll.
But there is a girl, actually. This is
she's good.
Well, I think she makes a good point. It's like what you need. They need a suggestion box.
She likes working at home, and
I was waiting for your analysis of this. She likes working at home,
and now she's irked.
Yeah,
because it's been going on for years now, and it's like if you can, you mentioned earlier the Substack column. If you go to dvorak.substack.com, there's an old column I wrote about a year or two ago about how working at home is not what it's cracked up to be. Because I've been doing it most of my life, and I know how it works, and I know why it works and why it doesn't work, and why some people can do it and some people can't. And it's overrated. And so
you still wake up grumpy, whether you're working from home or not.
I can see her position. She's like, she's got it all worked out. She's doing a good job. But a lot of people, I mean, most public relations people nowadays work from home, and they don't have the big offices anymore. And in some, it's a good way to save money because you don't have the offices. You have to, people have to you know, they don't have to have a coffee machine. They have coffee at the house.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of benefits to it, but at the same time, and I think a publicity stunt idea is not bad. I have two clips. One which goes beyond a publicity stunt,
okay.
But I want you to play your wrap this if you got more before I play these two.
No, I want to come back to your working at home and your grumpiness, but I'll do that after your clips. That'll be fine.
Well, the first is just the general clip, which I thought was the classic, you know, backgrounder, and this is the worker buyouts NTD clip.
The Trump administration is offering substantial buyouts to federal workers as part of a plan to drastically shrink the government. NTD's Daniel Monahan has more on the so-called deferred resignation program.
The program allows federal employees to stay on the payroll until September 30th without having to work. A mass email was sent to federal workers, giving them until February 6th to decide whether to participate. The unprecedented message instructed those interested to simply reply with the word resign. The offer applies to most civilian employees, excluding those in immigration, national security, and the postal service.
The government currently employs around 2.3 million civilian workers, not counting postal employees.
The email warns that those who decline the offer should expect a shift toward a more streamlined workforce based on four key pillars: return to office, ending remote work, performance culture, implementing updated standards to reward top performers while addressing those who fail to meet expectations, more streamlined and flexible workforce, downsizing federal agencies through restructuring, realignments, and layoffs, and enhanced standards of conduct, tightening workplace rules.
You know, now that I'm thinking about this, wouldn't it be better, instead of complaining to a podcast, which I appreciate, by the way, to take the buyout and then go public about these horrible systems? Say, you know, I have something good to get on TikTok and say, you know, there's a problem with what's going on. I mean, it's a good rant, but you should just take the money and then be a whistleblower. I mean, I guess you can do that, or maybe not. I don't know.
I think you can. I don't think they're giving you a non-disparagement clause to sign.
But I think people should go public with this. What she said is important. If there's a payroll problem, then we got to fix that.
It's possible she won't get her money. Here's the deal. This is a local report from WAMU, which I think is American University. A public radio station in D.C., and they bring in that maniac Tim Kaine, who has a whole theory about this, which I've not heard anyplace else yet, but I think it could catch on. This is the Trump layoff scheme.
The pressure from President Donald Trump is mounting on federal workers to return to the office full-time or quit. Last night, the Office of Personnel Management circulated a letter to federal workers. The letter offered, quote, deferred resignation to any federal worker who would take the offer by February 6th. The offer would allow workers to continue receiving their full benefits and pay through September 30th. An OPM spokesperson says employees that accept the deferred resignation would be put on administrative leave until they depart. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, speaking on the Senate floor, called it a classic move in the president's business playbook.
Yeah, the president has tried to terrorize you for about a week and then gives you a little sweetheart offer. If you resign in the next week, we're just going to pay you for doing nothing for the next 7 months. Don't be fooled. He's tricked hundreds of people with that offer. If you accept that offer and resign, he'll stiff you just like he stiffed the contractors. He doesn't have any authority to do this.
Kaine added that Congress has not approved a budget item for such a move.
Oh, yeah, well.
A little twist.
Well, yeah. That seems like that would be a bad look if he did that.
I don't think this is good. Yeah, I agree. Kaine is nuts.
I liked
him throwing it in. If you want to throw a wrench in the works and you want to create fear and doubt, fear and certainty and doubt. You throw something like that out.
You do that. I have a...
What an asshole.
I have a procedural issue I'd like to discuss just briefly. Since we both work from home and I don't have an HR department to complain to. Although you do our payroll, which I appreciate. When I forward an email to you.
Yeah.
You have this habit. It's happened three times.
I know exactly what you're going to complain about.
and then you will reply to me and CC the original person with my comment to you. That is a total breach of netiquette and protocol. That's your response?
I'm not.
Is that what you expected me to say?
No. It's kind of, I knew that I've been doing this, but I don't know that I didn't know, and I apologize for this, that I am including your little one-on-one gripe, because that's a back channel the way I see it.
Yes.
And I should not be putting that in there. It should have been taken out. But most of the time, it goes like this. You know, you do something, and you send it to me, and then I'll send a note.
My time is limited. It's a yes or no answer.
That is the end of that. I will not. I will be careful in the future, because that is a huge mistake on my part.
But you took the time to copy.
I don't
think
it had to be made public that I'm a doofus. But okay, thank you.
No, thank you for pointing this out in public. You take the time to copy and paste and then berate the person. it was a simple meme. This because you were grumpy. You did end with I woke up grumpy. It was, and I said, hey, maybe something for the newsletter. And then you wrote this Substack length email about why this meme was no good. So it wasn't a huge problem. But yeah, I found it interesting. And no one has ever done that to me but you. So it's okay.
Okay, now I know to which specific email you're referring to. I did not think that this may be a good for the newsletter comment was a back channel comment that was so secretive that I couldn't leave it in there.
No, I'm using that example. The other ones are irrelevant because it just makes me aware.
Like, okay, wow. I noted.
Wow, you might just say F you. It's noted. You have taught me well, Dvorak. I know all the tricks. I really do. I really do. No, anyway, we're done. Yeah, apology accepted. It's no problem. But you know, I am kind of your secretary. You know, it's like I get all the emails for you. You know, John. I said, would you please email?
I like the last. You got one recently. You forwarded and said, I'm writing this to you because I can't spell Dvorak's name. It's on the website. It's on every album art. It says Dvorak and Curry. Every single album art's got my name spelled.
It was the same as the Substack from our Wall Street guy, Angel of Smyrna. And I spelled it 5 times in the podcast during the donation segment. And people are like, yeah, I went to Bing.io and I couldn't find it. Like, no, you didn't. You're lying. You're just lazy. You want me to look up a link for you. That's what it is. It's all right. We do it as a public service. We do all of this as a public service, and we're happy to. We're happy to, because I could not imagine doing anything different or with anyone else, John. So just so you know, I love doing
this. Did that come out of the biblical thing too?
It sure did. Approach everyone with kindness, gentleness, and love. There you go. And with that, I want to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the sea in the cow eggs. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
Morning, you, Mr. Adam, you're a ship, sea, boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, the names and nights out there.
In the morning, to control room, let me count you all for a second. Now, just because it's our, we do it every single show, what is normal for a Thursday? Is it 1800?
Thursday, 1800, yeah.
Okay, 2298.
Yeah, that's good. That's like a low Sunday number.
But you know why? I wonder what they're going to say about Runway 33.
Yeah, Runway 33. Which should be the title of the show. Runway 33.
Runway 33. It's kind of gruesome and maybe a little bit
not too necessarily
early, a little bit too early for it. But that is kind of true though. I mean, you know, people are so used to the algo chasers. You know, it's like, oh, I got to check and see what those guys are saying about. Oh, I got to go to the YouTube and see what Tim Pool's saying. Oh, what does Megyn Kelly say about it?
By the way, did you notice that Megyn Kelly was at the Kennedy hearing sitting right behind Cheryl Hines?
No, I didn't see that. I saw Cheryl. I didn't see Megyn was there.
Yes, she was sitting right in the row right behind her, and it was only from, I forgot which feed I got this from, because the feed that you saw on C-SPAN didn't show it. But if you went to NBC or somebody else, you could see her. She was sitting right there, and the way the shot was done, it was like, might as well have been a shot of Megyn Kelly.
Interesting.
So she was there.
Meanwhile, yeah, I thought that was all she's talking about is the Ryan Reynolds' wife and that actor dude who she did the movie with that they're suing or whatever, and all kinds of nonsense.
You're talking about Blake Lively?
Yes, Blake. You know about this.
Who cares? I was going to do a series of clips for today's show, actually. Who cares? Who cares? Yeah. But I was going to do, I went to page 6, the post, and there was, they have this video feed that goes on, and they're talking about this person and that person. Mm-hmm. And I was going to just start clipping it because I know you were going to do the same. I have never heard of any of these people.
Well, I have. I saw the movie. It's quite a good movie, actually. And Blake Lively is married to Ryan Reynolds. And, you know, and by the way, Candace Owens is all. I mean, it's like, look at the world around you. It's like, well, but they're digging. You know what? It's their niche. Let them go. It's good. Let them do that. So they're not cruising around in our lane. Get out of here. Get out of here, Megan. She's a lawyer. She loves this stuff. Family law.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, she loves this stuff. Thank you, trolls, for being here. Trollroom.io and, of course, the modern podcast apps. Go to podcastapps.com with an S and get one of those because it has a lot of benefits, including the live stream when we go live, which, you know, you can stick your earbuds in and listen at the office. Oh, I'm sorry, you're working from home, even better. You know, why don't just, sorry, I can't work right now. I'm listening to the boys, hearing what they're saying about Runway 33 is very important stuff. Of course, it has all of the fabulous chapters with art, which Dreb sets up for us. You can actually skip around the topics. Like, yeah, remember they're talking, you want to play something for someone? Here, this here. Boom, click on it, done. It's good.
Funny image. I think in this segment, we might as well read the note from Nestworks.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Nestworks won the, and so we're going to, you jump the gun a little bit because I need to say the words value for value because that's how we function here. We have no HR department to complain to because, you know, it's all value for value. It's just John, Adam, a little bit of Mimi, a little bit of Jay, a little bit of Tina.
Jay is sick, by the way. We should.
Oh, what's wrong?
Have some. Oh, I don't know. She's got some horrible cold or something. She can barely talk.
Is she coughing? Is it in her chest? Because there's a lot of
a little coughing. Yeah, everyone's coughing. Mimi had something
too. Could be tuberculosis. You know, there's a lot of that going around.
that's only in what? Oh. In Kansas, Kansas, I think. Okay. Is it Kansas?
All right. Well, good. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Feel better, Jay. She didn't mention it. She just sent me the spreadsheet and went.
No, she doesn't. She's not a complainer.
She is not a complainer. That she is the best employee we have, which is great because she's the only employee we have.
Yeah, pretty much.
She's great. So yes, value for value, time, talent, or treasure, and the artist. And this kind of flows into a lot of different conversations we're having because this was not an AI artwork piece that we chose for episode. Let me go to it. 1733. We titled that one Rat Note. And this was the code that we uncovered, cute winter boots. And it was a duck with some cute winter boots. And it was just the best piece. And there's no doubt about it. I read that note from Nestworks, because Nestworks is the one who did it. Was there anything else that we looked at that that came close for us? There were a lot of winter boots. A lot of people try to do cute winter boots. We kind of liked. Comics or Blogger had a piece that reminded us of Mad Magazine, which is probably where the original was stolen from by AI. What else was there? Was there anything? Well, Season of Reveal from Darren O'Neill was cute, but it was like, he just takes the same prompt and just changes the term, and it kind of pops out that way. Are you looking at all, or are you just letting me talk into space here? You've muted yourself, so we can't hear you.
I'm back.
It's illegal in many states.
No, what happens was when I click on the art, sometimes if the if the arrow's in the wrong spot,
yes,
it clicks on the
the arrow
on the other window,
yes,
and the little arrow.
The little arrow, and you click on the window, and, it's
and it mutes me, and then I don't know until you complain.
Your hand-eye coordination is interesting. So, I was talking about Darren, how he just...
Oh, the season of reveal, yeah. He's got, one series of prompts that developed this particular... This started off as a circle, and somehow he squared it.
Yeah, we just said make it a square, whatever. Most of the AI stuff was typically boring.
And my favorite was Peter Knophart, who had the cheerleader, and the pom poms are hanging in space like they're stuck to her armpit hair.
And her arms are very short. If you look at her arms are short. It's
the worst possible example of AI.
The entropy has set in. It's obvious. Because this originally, of course, was a Scaramanga piece, and now it's just making it worse. A copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. A lot of cute winter boots, this was good. I think we even said, is this AI? Do you think it's AI? I don't know. I think if I recall, you said there's probably elements of AI. However, if we read the note, and this is a very nice note, and an artist will feel happy about this.
By the way, just to say, there's a cute little thing I didn't notice before, but if you notice there's no agenda, the no is on the duck hat.
Yes.
As though it was like a logo on the hat.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, because he's a pro.
Yeah.
Feels awesome to get back on the board. Show 1733 with Cute Winter Boots. Just a bit of a backstory in the piece. I'd originally worked on this duck piece a couple of years ago, pre-AI. There was a backlash regarding security with DuckDuckGo, hence the orange circle theme I was going with. And I wanted to title the piece DuckDuckNo. Funny. I was inspired by the classic cartoon clip art look and based the piece on a mallard duck asset from iStock Photo. The reason I chose the iStock asset was because it reminded me of Donald Duck, but it wasn't Donald Duck as pertained to copyright, etc. I was working on developing my outline and brush skills on the iPad in Procreate and recreated the main duck graphic. The topic did not get covered on the show, so I archived the .png graphic I created for a possible future use. This is what artists do.
All artists do this. A friend of mine was a graphic designer, and he had so many cows, smiling cows, backed up that if you needed a cow, whatever cow you want, he had them. From years ago. They archive their work.
When I heard the topic of cute winter boots on Sunday, I thought it would be funny to have the duck holding a shotgun, sporting a trucker's hat, and wearing a pair of oversized Timberlands. Cute winter boots. Using cute winter boots to try to confuse the algorithm. You're a quack, LOL. I modified my original duck graphic in Photoshop, adding the shotgun, adding the boots asset, modifying the hands on the rifle, and adding the text. I mainly use Photoshop for graphic asset manipulation, layered art design, and occasionally use a custom cartoonizer program. Oh, fake news! To achieve a unique look and draw out pieces on my iPad when I have time. I have not dive into the world of AI prompts as of yet. I dig some of it. I'm always blown away by Darren, Francisco's, and CSB's AI skills. I think y'all have nailed it in the art segment. It still comes down to executing an idea. Darren is so funny, talented, and creative. It shines through in his pieces. Mm-hmm. Scaramanga is brilliant for boobs. It's impressive to me that he is
he's concerned with kind of the dimensionality and sound, specifically the
Scaramanga
dynamic range.
Oh, the dynamic range. It's impressive to me that he has created and cultivated a style, humor, and design look that when you see a Scaramanga piece, you know it's a Scaramanga piece. Good point. Capitalist agenda is amazing, and I admire his drawing skills, creativity, and humorous ideas. Mike Riley and Roundy, they're gone. Riley posts sometime as well when they decide to post on the Art Journal. I was initially hit in the mouth approximately 5 years ago by my buddy Sir Dino, the monkey boy with curly hair. He gave me some sage advice regarding the art generator. Here it is. Sage advice. Strive to design a piece around a show subject that you might think will best represent the show that day, which is exactly what I tried to do with AI on the last show, and it came up with garbage.
And he finishes by saying, shout out to the No Agenda artists who are talented at creating pieces on the fly during show days. Tonta Neal, Kenny Ben, Capitalist Agenda, Darren O, Scaramanga, Corrector Records, CSB, Nick the Rat, and many more. I enjoy the competition and respect my fellow NA artists. I take pride in participating in the V4V process for the show and always feel fortunate when honored with a selection. Also, as a No Agenda artist, it's cool to check the show chapters in a podcasting 2.0 app and see if a piece is used. Hearing that y'all have been dealing with some negativity in reference to the art segment, I wanted to send some positivity your way. Love you guys, Nesswork. Yeah, there you go.
That's a great note.
That is. It sums it up completely.
A little long.
Well, yeah, he's an artist. You know, they're not writers. That's just how it is. They're not writers, man. They're not writers. All right, now we go to the treasure portion of the value for value, and we want to thank everybody who supported us with $50 or above. And in this case, like every single show, we stop and give special attention to people who donate $200 or more. We give them the title of associate executive producer, which is a real title. You can use it anywhere where these are recognized, these credits, Hollywood credits, such as IMDb.com. So we will read your note as well. $300 or above, and you get an executive producer credit. Same hold, same applies. Pew. Valid. Whoa, that was, why did I get a pew? Valid everywhere. Hold on a second. Who was that? Studio Two Rocks. Okay, let me just mute that. Here we go. And we start
that
off.
That pew, by the way, is the same reason I mute the thing by accident.
Now the pew comes from something else. Hey, we start off with a Rubbalizer donation. Here we go.
India Tango Mike, stand by. 33, Rubbalizer out.
And this is from the Archduke of Central Florida. He says Rubbalizer donation 3333.33. It's a massive, massive support for the show. Rubbalizer donation from the Archduke of Central Florida. Sorry, no $2 bills like Sir Anonymous. Really appreciate the work you guys put in, even working on a holiday like Inauguration Eve. Sure, you had some invites to the balls and you didn't go. There you go. Should be some interesting activity over the next couple of years for you to dissect and deconstruct. We will be looking forward to it. No jingles, no karma. He says 5 more years, Archduke of Central Florida. All right, that's a new one, 5 more years. Thank you very much. We appreciate that highly.
Onward, that was very nice, yes.
Yeah, super nice.
Aaron Cole in Watsonville, California, 1111.77, which is $1,000 plus fees, I'm guessing, although it says a lot of fees. Maybe
that's a lot of fees.
Nah, that's over 10%. That's got to be something else. Adam and John, listening since 2009, best podcast in the universe. Finally, time to finish my knighthood and come in with a big thank you. First donation was for the 200 Club. Yeah, the old 200
Club.
Yeah,
but remember that, the 200 Club, sure.
That was very successful, by the way. Mm. This podcast has been a pillar for information for years and has been great for me and the other douchebags that I've been able to drag along, helping center ourselves in chaos. Mm. Holds immense value. I'll have Adam's brisket and some bourbon at the round table. Do you have any left?
It was a good brisket. Yeah, I got some left.
Knight name, Sir Aaron Cole of the Strawberry Fog. Jingle, if it's not too much. Well, not with this donation. Climate Gate with the violin and birds. WTC7 won't go away. You're going to die. P.S. Heading up to get John out of the house meetup this weekend in the Bay Area. Oh, I'll see you there. Looking forward to it.
To the gate, to the gate, to the climate gates.
WTC7 won't go away. You might die.
There you go. A nice sequence. Thank you. Earl Christopher is in Marshfield, Wisconsin, and he sends in 543.21 plus fees, and his note is awesome. No jingles, no karma. Thank you very much.
Speedy Bubble in Cholula, Florida.
Speedy Bubble, Adam. Yes.
Speedy Bubble.
Speedy Bubble.
Adam, this is for the 33rd day sobriety chip. per our email exchange.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. What he said was he wanted to set up a 33-day sobriety chip. This is for Nussbaum, our Grand Duke.
Oh, yes.
And he said, I want, and he didn't put it in his email, but I think he is donating for the 33 sobriety chip for Nussbaum. So there's your chip. And you can continue. What you're talking about. Well, it's a chip from Alcoholics Anonymous, the sobriety chip.
I don't know.
No. You wouldn't know.
Please encourage others to donate in kind. I also love the 1911 and own more than one of them. I'm not familiar with the platypus, but will be inquiring. You cannot have too many guns.
I can't wait to fire this thing. It's quite amazing. Yes, was it Stealth Arms? Yeah, the platypus.
Just it's the 380, right?
No, it's a 9mm. And it takes the double stack Glock.
Oh, that's right, because it takes
it has 17 rounds. Yeah, so you can really do some damage, man. Sir Digi is in Indianapolis, Indiana, 35093 from Sir Digi. Thank you for your courage. Adam, I was recently baptized. I want to say that hearing your story has helped me on my journey to getting to know Jesus. Thank you for reminding us that that he left with us. Yes. And I recommend you look up scriptures on ChatGPT. It's good for it. And ask for the Baptist pastor voice.
Jay Gordon, Chicago, 333.33. In the morning, John and Adam, please accept this humble treasure from the mean streets of downtown Chi-Town.
Oh, boy.
Incredibly grateful for all you do. The tips of the day have been almost as good as Adam not knowing what day it is. Adam, being a productive, heavy stoner, one of my favorite pastimes was to get high and listen to the best podcast in the universe. You were high. I was high. It was great. When you stopped smoking, I couldn't help but be a bit bummed, but got over it quickly. Shortly after, I was inspired to quit smoking, and it's now been a full year since I've taken a puff.
All right.
Congratulations. I have to think that you were a big part of that. Thank you, Adam. Boots on the ground every night for the past few weeks. There have been multiple drones flying back and forth across downtown Chicago, and I'm surrounding and the surrounding neighborhood. Sometimes I will see four of them flying around in the sky at one time. I'm writing this email. I can see two. They're not planes. You can watch them fly the same path back and forth for hours. They likely belong. And then I don't have anything after that.
That's all I have. They likely belong. Agreed. They likely belong. And since this is the donation segment, the secret donation clip is coming your way. People who skip over the donation segment miss all the good stuff.
The Trump administration's explanation about drones over New Jersey
were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons.
Falling hollow in Belleville.
It was disappointing. I had expected a lot more.
Where Mayor Michael Mellum says drones can still be seen scurrying at night.
You will see red and green blinking lights. When they get over you, that's what's confusing people. When they get over you, they look like a small aircraft. They are fixed-wing drones.
The White House's vague explanation, drumming up one major sentiment here, disappointment.
I'm a little bit disappointed in the fact that the FAA didn't announce this and caused us to exert a lot of manpower toward vetting suspicious activity reports.
Disappointing. I mean, to have a statement, honestly, it sounds like it's a cover story because they had no cover story.
It's disappointing. It's disappointing when they don't communicate with their own Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, who spent hundreds and hundreds of man hours vetting through hundreds of phone calls to the tips line.
Mayor Mellum and Monmouth County Sheriff Golden say they are less concerned about threat, but feel more transparency is needed about exactly what's being researched and why.
You're flying around in urban areas and densely populated areas only 100 feet above our homes. We are concerned, and we deserve to know what they're doing up there.
So that's an example of a crap report. Really, really crap, because it sounds like these people are disappointed that, they're not flying saucers, they're not UFOs. Here's what the White House press secretary actually said, short.
And before I turn to questions, I do have news directly from the President of the United States that was just shared with me in the Oval Office from President Trump directly, an update on the New Jersey drones. After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy.
Yes, everyone was excited and flying their drone exactly as we posited. And the research, yeah, this is, there's a base there. They're flying their fixed-wing drones and doing stuff. Yeah. How crazy was everyone over those drones for about a week? They were nuts over it. It's listen to No Agenda, people. We'll calm you down. Sean Dietrich, Invergrove Heights, Minnesota, 333.33, that's St. Paul. Belated birthday donation. I turned 33 on the 28th. It seemed like the right time to donate. Long overdue for a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
And any 33 drop would be much appreciated. Thank you, Adam and John, from Sean Dietrich.
33, that's a magic number. It's the magic number.
Nelson Ariza in Lawrenceville, Georgia, 333. I appreciate what you guys do. Thank you. Can I get some Trump jobs karma? And I love my truck.
I'm waiting for your truck.
It's on the other desk. I have to go get it.
Okay, I'll do the karma and you run like the wind.
Jobs, jobs, jobs.
You've got karma.
The timing is uncanny. Amen. Can you find it?
I love my truck and I love what I do.
Whew.
Yeah, I moved it to the right.
Beautiful timing.
Job moved.
And I know you can cook it if you don't use fresh vegetables.
JD is in Elkhorn, Nebraska, 234.56. Nice sequential number. With the help of Linda Lou, listen to this. I started a new job in December. Wouldn't you know it? My corner office is building 33.
Woo!
And this donation takes me to knighthood. I will be known as Sarcastic the Nomad, henceforth, given that I can't seem to stay in one place for long. Tamdu? 12-year and lamb chops at the round table. Tamdu? Does that sound right?
I don't know what.
I've never heard of Tamdu.
Tamdu sounds like a scotch.
Yes. A single malt, probably. Yeah.
Well, it would be
elitist. A jobs karma and a stay safe to christen the occasion. JD, formerly of Elkhorn, Nebraska.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You've got karma.
Daniel Williams in Mount Shasta, California, right up the road. 22, which is, nice area. 222.22. Row of ducks for some travel karma for the Karnowski's, Jeans, Williams, and
Jerry's.
And Bailey's on the go over the next few days.
I think it's Karnowski's, Jerry's, Williams, and Bailey's. Karnowski's, something like that. All right, here's travel karma for you. Stay safe.
You've got karma.
And that's an associate executive producer credit for you, as well for Sir Bates from Bloomington, Minnesota. A lot of Minnesota today. 219.04 is his donation. He says, no jingles, no karma, no note. Beautiful.
Good man. Eli, the coffee guy in Bensonville, Illinois, $201.30. You're familiar with his work. I'm excited for the Chicagoland No Agenda meetup at Reggie's in the South Loop on Saturday, February 1st. Oh, good. I've been to a bunch of meetups over the years and will affirm that connection is protection. I can't wait to hang out with some awesome people. Can I bring some bags of coffee and raffle them off?
There you go.
Raffle them off. Can I get a goat karma for good? Yeah, that's a good idea. Can I get a goat karma for good measure? And if you haven't tried our coffee, by the way, Visit GigawattCoffeeRoasters.com. You'll be happy you did. The code ITM for 20% off your order. Stay caffeinated. Eli, the coffee guy.
Code ITM20 for 20% off your order.
What did I say?
You said code ITM. You know, like, it's code Bongino.
Oh, okay.
Code Bongino is
no
the go-to.
Good, no good.
All right. And he wants some goat karma. Of course, we got that for you, Eli.
You've got karma.
And there she is with $200 helping people get jobs. We just heard about it. Linda Lopatkin, Lakewood, Colorado. And she asked for jobs karma and says for a winning resume and a faster job search, go to imagemakersinc.com. That's imagemakersinc with a K. And work with Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes, your go-to for all of your executive resume and job search needs.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Brian Antoniotti in Pembroke, Massachusetts. $200. I put my father onto the show about a year ago, and he still loves it. I'm donating on his behalf and would like to credit this donation. This is a switcheroo.
Switcheroo. Then. Yep, switcheroo.
To my grandmother, Lorraine. Please de-douche her.
You've been de-douched.
She's new to this show, and she's been enjoying it very much. I could use proving the random number theory.
There it is.
I love my truck jingle. Give it up for 4 more years.
It ain't no joy like a lame boy. I love my truck, and I love what I do.
And our final associate executive producer, Sir Tim from Overland Park, Kansas, $200. And he says, Adam keeps talking about a universal ID. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that what real ID is? No, it's universal digital ID. He goes on to say, there are two alphanumeric sequences on the bottom of my real ID driver's license that weren't on my old DL, and I have no idea what they're for. That's to target you with the drone. Also, when I worked as a contractor for the RTC savings and loan bailout in the early to mid-90s, when contracts came up to be bid on only minority-owned companies were allowed to bid, and that was 35 years ago. So large companies just formed a joint venture with some minority-owned company and bid on the contracts using the loophole. I don't think anything has changed in 35 years, Sir Tim. That's clear. And thank you very much for supporting the show with your treasure. Thank all of you for supporting us for episode 1734. And of course, we'll be thanking everybody who comes in over $50. Looking forward to that in our second segment. And please go to noagendadonations.com to support the show. Noagendadonations.com. In fact, you can set up a recurring donation of any amount, any frequency. It's all up to you. It's all in the value you receive from the show. If you get any value, send it back to us. Noagendadonations.com.
I love my truck and I love what I do.
Our formula is this. We go out. We hit people in the mouth.
Order.
Stay safe!
Shut up, Steve.
I know you don't like it when I do this, but you filled up the intro of that jingle with I Love My Truck perfectly. It was tight. I mean, there are radio professionals around the world right now going, wow, how do those guys do it?
You're right.
It was awesome. That was really good. I just have to say.
Had it at the ready, waiting for the moment.
Yeah, right. Okay. It was planned, perfectly planned.
So I do have some clips that are unreported in the mainstream media I want to play because I'll bet you don't. What you know about Mega?
Is that the big guy from New Zealand's place, Mega? The Megacorp, what's his name? What's the guy? The German guy?
.com. Kim.
Yeah, Kim. Kim.com. Yeah, that guy.
Nope.
Oh, then, I'm not aware.
This Mega, when I heard the story, I said, this is literally not being reported anywhere as though it's not even happening, but it is. You'll find out all about it by unreported Mega One.
Conservative movements and politicians rallied in Brussels for a Make Europe Great Again meeting. Ah. It talked about how European countries could follow the example of the new Trump administration and some of its policies. NTD's international correspondent David Vives reports from Brussels.
More than 50 politicians across Europe, mostly members of parliament, state officials, or former ministers, have gathered today in Brussels. They rallied under the slogan, Make Europe Great Again. They said that Trump's victory has empowered conservative movement across Europe and are envisioning a future where European policies could follow the path set by the US president.
Speakers said the Trump administration set an example to follow.
Up until now, the people have been told, well, we can't protect our borders. We can't close our border. It's impossible. We simply can't do it. Even if we wanted to, it's impossible. And now Donald Trump is just, guess what, I'm just doing it. So of course, and then people will see, well, wait a minute. It is possible to do that. Of course, it's possible.
Oh, that's Christine. Christine Anderson, Christine, what's her name?
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
Yeah, she's a heavy hitter. So Mega, that's interesting.
Yeah, so, this is not, of course, who wants to report this? Because we have to be told, the American public has to think that Trump is an international divisive figure.
Is do they have red hats?
They didn't. It was a radio press, or I didn't see it.
Well, here's an opportunity, people. This is a noagendashop.com. Here is a marketing opportunity. Just saying.
Make Europe great again. Here's clip two of this.
They also say European countries should work to defend their values and identities.
We need to defend our European civilization, which is something quite different from just the current globalist trend. I want to refer to a very specific historical, cultural, and spiritual identity, and which today is seriously threatened both by the threat posed by woke ideology. We need to find back faith, tradition, also belief in God.
Trump's diplomacy toward Europe seems to have taken a different turn from his first term. Top EU diplomat Kaja Kallas said she invited US Secretary of State Marco Rubio to a foreign minister's meeting to strengthen ties, but was offered no answer. According to an article published by Politico, President Donald Trump may prefer to deal directly with individual state members rather than EU officials. This potential strain in relations may benefit European leaders who align their policies on Donald Trump's approach. According to president of the Italian think tank Nazione Futura, Francesco Giubilei, EU top officials have distanced themselves from Trump in the past, which may explain the situation.
You know what I'm noticing in a lot of these clips? God seems to be trending.
Well, God's trending every now and again, but it was overdue. Now, there's a couple other things that was...
You mean the third awakening?
That comes and goes. Yes. I want to mention something else before we play the last clip, which is that even though they're not part of Make Europe Great Again, is that I was thinking about this because you got me watching The Diplomat, which is a very kind of a woke-ish but interesting,
well done show.
Very, the structure of the story is terrific.
I think this is the first time I've actually got you to watch a show and stick with it.
It's because it's one of the best written shows on television.
Have you seen Landman?
I'm not going to watch Landman.
Oh.
Or anything to do with Yellowstone.
No,
it's just too much.
Has nothing to do with Yellowstone.
I'll check Landman out some other time. But I'm going back to, that's not the point I'm trying to make. Anyway, Diplomat, and then there's this other show, which is Black Dove, which I, by the way, had to stop watching it.
We stopped. We could not.
No, it's unwatchable.
It is unwatchable. It got unwatchable. Really teed. Only because What's-Her-Face is in it that we watched at least two episodes.
Keira Knightley.
But, oh, no, it's horrible.
It's a terrible show. But then there's The Agency.
Yes.
Now, what do these three shows have in common?
Spooks.
What else do they have in common?
Gay sex.
I'm not going to go on and on, but what they really have in common is a presentation of the British Empire as a bunch of screwed up a-holes.
Yes.
This is the all three shows are about how screwed up and how crummy the Brits are.
That's a good point.
And this fits right in with Elon Musk being the hitman for Trump going after Keir Starmer, whatever his name is, the Prime Minister of England.
I think you've identified an important trend here.
This trend is huge, and what they're doing is they're cutting off England because, and I think it's These storylines were started long before Trump showed up and won, but these storylines began some time ago. This hatred of England, we're turning on England for some reason. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
How about that they stand for everything perpendicularly opposite to America, like freedom of speech?
They're against free speech. They have all kinds of issues going on over there. They're threatening us by saying we're gonna extradite anybody who says anything that we don't like.
Yep.
And Starmer is a creep, and the fact that he sent people over to campaign for Kamala Harris is not sitting well. No. And these three shows, and I think there's other shows too that are showing up, are so anti-English. There is a major movement going on that's anti-England, and we should be aware of it.
Well, come to think of it, when's the last time you saw UK on a spreadsheet?
Huh? I haven't seen.
They're not donating. They've left the building.
Maybe. Oh, that's a good. Well, we had. You're right.
One or two.
We've probably been cut off. We probably can't get our message into the country.
Hey, get some thumb drives and drop them off in the UK. These people need help. They need help from us. It's so hard to cover the. Actually, I have a. Funny you bring this up. I have a Prime Minister Question Time quick clip.
So let's play that right after we get
number
out of
three. Okay, number three. Here we go.
The position of the European Union in the last few years was a position totally against the Republican Party and a position totally against Donald Trump. But now we must have a real politique. Donald Trump, also if maybe Ursula von der Leyen or some other people in the European Union, they don't like him, but right now he's the president of the United States. So we must talk with him.
He believes Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, who was the only European head of state invited to Donald Trump's inauguration, could be a leading figure for Europe.
And having a prime minister which can talk with him in a good relationship like Giorgia Meloni can be something good for all the European Union.
Was she there? Was she at the inauguration? Did she go?
I don't know. I think so. She might have been. She was invited.
She should have been Elon's date. I'm surprised he didn't walk in. Or Obama, or Obama's perfect. Date, for that matter. She could have been anybody's date. Huh. This is a very interesting trend. Thank you for identifying this. This is a very, particularly with the Hollywood stuff, because it's all Hollywood. It's Netflix, really. I think, isn't most of this Netflix? What is Black
the
Dove?
The agency is Showtime.
Okay, Black Doves.
The Diplomat are both Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. Huh. Well, here's the Prime Minister's question time.
Turning now to the United States, can the Prime Minister guarantee that he will not sell out Britain's fantastic farmers to Donald Trump in a trade deal that undermines our high food and animal welfare standards in the way that the Conservatives sold them out in the Australia and New Zealand deals?
Mr. Speaker, we will work with the US, we will work with other countries, but we will never lower our standards.
Yeah, we don't want you. You can have our government cheese. Yeah, we got to be anti-England now. This is interesting. But I know
Once you spot this trend, I think we're going to start seeing a lot of it.
Well, Queen Ursula has really been trying to... to step up, and she's like, we're going to reboot everything, but we're still going to be green. it was looking at her like, I don't think so. And of course, we're also stopping I so agree with this. Of course, we need to quickly reinstate things that are killing people, but the withholding all foreign aid is kind of cool. It's like, let's just stop for a second and see what everybody thinks when we shut down, which hopefully, it brings us a rare Africa news clip.
Hundreds of aid programs are on edge after U.S. President Donald Trump paused trillions of dollars in federal spending, domestic and foreign. The global impact of U.S. foreign aid is massive. It funds programs fighting disease, malnutrition, and human trafficking, security programs, and aid for pregnant women and babies. 3 million lives a year are saved just from USAID-funded immunization programs. The White House says Trump ordered the freeze to root out any funding that isn't consistent with his agenda.
So what does this pause mean? It means no more funding for illegal DEI programs. It means no more funding for the Green New scam that has cost American taxpayers tens of billions of dollars. It means no more funding for transgenderism and wokeness across our federal bureaucracy and agencies.
Initially, only emergency food programs and military aid to Israel and Egypt were exempt from the foreign aid pause. But after international uproar, Secretary of State Marco Rubio granted a waiver to continue funding humanitarian programs that provide life-saving medicine, medical services, food, shelter, and subsistence assistance. Still, many organizations are unclear whether they are allowed to operate and worry about losing staff and infrastructure. Trump's order is being challenged in U.S. courts, and Tuesday, a judge temporarily blocked the directive. The White House says it will defend the funding freeze, and this fight is likely to go all the way to the Supreme Court.
This is how a businessman thinks. Like, okay, let me shut it all off. Let's see who comes crying first, and we'll evaluate on a first-come, first-served basis. It sounds cruel, but it is our money.
Yeah, I think the clip I have, which includes this screwy one, this is the one that's unfortunately it's smudged, but it's the one that has condom bombs in the title.
Yes, I have it here.
And during the signing ceremony today, President Trump also announced a new order to send up to 30,000 illegal immigrants, or what he calls worst of the worst, to Guantanamo Bay. And Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, talking to us on the White House campus this afternoon, told us that that's already actually expanding an existing migrant center at Gitmo. Watch.
Detained the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them.
The significant public safety threats, we can fly them.
We're already doing it.
We identified and stopped $50 million being sent to Gaza to buy condoms for Hamas. $50 million. And you know what's happened to them? They've used them as a method of making bombs.
What?
You haven't heard this?
No. How they make bombs out of condoms?
They use the bombs as some sort of a balloon.
Oh.
And then they hang some, explosive off a bunch of them, and then they just fly them over.
Well, Christy,
that's what they say. I mean, this is news to me. It's condom bombs.
If it's condoms, that's a lot of rubber that you're sending over there, $50 million. I don't know what they cost. It's been a while.
Well, that number changes from 50 million to, and I've heard 15, I don't know.
Well, Kristi Noem is our new Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Yes.
And before you discuss this, if you listen to that last clip, when they're talking about opening up Gitmo
for 30,000
and sending people there, she said, I caught it. She says, we already are.
Sending people to Gitmo?
I think that's a secret that she dropped.
Oh.
But anyway, go on.
Well, I very much enjoyed her talking about my favorite topic, which is the NGOs, and she actually explains how she, whether it's true or not, incorrectly thought, NGOs are doing good things, it's nonprofit, it's good for people. And these are, of course, this in some cases, billion-dollar organizations run by many faith-based organizations like the Catholic Bishops Conference, which I don't know if there's a Catholic or a bishop actually in the organization, but it's a money-making scheme, and it's hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, and she lays it out as we've cut it all off.
Madam Secretary, I don't think people fully understand the role that NGOs play, many NGOs play, in facilitating illegal immigration. I just want to share these numbers with everybody up on the screen. We spend over $380 million, in 2024, for sheltering and service programs for illegal immigrants. But the vast network of NGOs that help facilitate it through Panama, through Mexico, and make it a landing spot here in the United States is a massive contributor here to illegal immigration. So what you're telling us today is that now stops? At least the federal funding of that stops?
Mm-hmm. Yes, through the Department of Homeland Security, we have stopped spending those dollars to fund those NGOs. And, well, what's been so revealing is that many of these NGOs actually have infrastructure and operations set up in Mexico on that side of the border that are telling those illegal immigrants to come to them, and they will get them across the border. So they're not just operating in the United States. They're operating outside of the United States to help make it easier for those who want to break our laws. Right. And while I was one of those Americans that years ago, when somebody said NGO to me, I thought, oh, that's amazing. That's a nonprofit that's out there telling somebody about Jesus or spreading faith and salvation or doing good work and charitable work, helping people that are less fortunate. And then I realized over the years, it's been perverted into this shadow government. An NGO is sometimes an operation that does things that the government cannot do, can't legally do. So they create an entity to use government dollars, taxpayer dollars, to do something that the federal government isn't allowed to do, to do a shadow government operation that really has been used recently to undermine our country's national security.
Yeah. This is, I mean, wow, how long have we been talking about this since Obama
forever?
Days? Since Obama days. And of course, with the president, new president, we have to set the doomsday clock again.
Oh.
We've been tracking the doomsday clock for many years. And of course, I keep track of these clips. This is the doomsday clock in Trump 1.
The board concludes in no uncertain terms that words matter in ensuring the safety and security of our planet. They are not the same as actions, but they matter a lot, especially when the risks of accident and miscalculation are so high. The first has been the cavalier and reckless language used across the globe, especially in the United States during the presidential election and after, around nuclear weapons and nuclear threats. And the second is a growing disregard of scientific expertise, expertise that is needed when it comes to responding to pressing global challenges, including climate change.
Yeah.
The board takes the unprecedented step, the first time in its history, of moving the clock hand 30 seconds closer to midnight. Today, we move the clock a half minute closer to midnight. It is now 2.5 minutes to midnight.
So that was, sorry about that channel loss there. 2.5 minutes to midnight in 2017. We go back to the last time we honestly pulled the clip, the doomsday clock in 2023.
Now, they call it the doomsday clock, and it symbolizes just how close humanity is to self-annihilation. Well, the closer the clock gets to midnight, the more danger we're all in. Well, the sad news is that a couple of factors have resulted in that doomsday clock advancing by 10 seconds, meaning we're now just 90 seconds to midnight. That is-
oh, so we went from 2.5 minutes through Trump and Biden somehow to 90 seconds in 2023. And boy, here is today's announcement. It's a shocker.
It is the determination of the Science and Security Board of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists that the world has not made sufficient progress on existential risks threatening all of humanity. We thus move the clock forward. Any move towards midnight should be taken as an indication of extreme danger and an unmistakable warning. This is the closest the world has ever been to midnight.
So what do you think they moved it to? It was 90 seconds to midnight in 2023. What do you think they moved it to?
I know what they moved it to, but the question in my mind is, where are all these intermediate steps between
they just left
2017? We must be missing clips.
No, I don't think they've I don't think they did it in those years during Biden. No, I mean, I looked at all
the
clips.
Thing is, the photo, I think it's 8 seconds now.
No, it's just they moved it 1 second to 89 seconds.
Oh, is it 89?
Well, one second.
Well, they show a picture of the clock and these two scientists, and these two scientists, especially the guy on the right, if anyone can find this photo, he looks like just a depressed, sad sack character. That is just, it's like you look and say, this guy's, they're not going to make the 90 seconds. I mean, this is pathetic.
But what's so odd is that these guys are the organization of nuclear or atomic scientists. You know, and you heard in that 2017 clip, oh, it's about,
climate change.
It's all about climate change. You listen to the rest.
Yeah. Arms control treaties are in tatters, and there are active conflicts involving nuclear powers. The world's attempts to deal with climate change remain inadequate.
Yeah, nuclear powers and climate change.
As most governments fail to enact the financing and policy initiatives necessary to halt global warming.
Financing, you bet.
Advances in an array of disruptive technologies, including biotechnology, artificial intelligence, and in space, have far outpaced policy, regulation, and a thorough understanding of their consequences. All of these dangers are greatly exacerbated by a potent threat multiplier.
Yeah, to take it 1 second closer to midnight, please.
The spread of misinformation, disinformation, and that degrade the communication ecosystem and increasingly blur the line between truth and falsehood.
Yes, we've broken the messaging system.
The only effective response is for nations to work together.
Globalism.
It is so alarming that President Trump has signaled his intention to withdraw from the Paris Agreement. Crucial year for climate action, we urge all other signatories to double down. Reaffirm their commitment to meeting the Paris goals.
So that only lost us 1 second? It doesn't seem so bad. I mean, considering it was 2.5 minutes in 2017.
Well, this time, you know, it's 2017 to today. There's a lot more time. I mean, this clock doesn't make any sense.
No kidding. It's such a stupid thing. Climate. I'm so sick of it. Is everyone else sick of this? Is anyone sick?
No. I think you've taken this optimistic attitude about being sick of stuff.
Yeah.
And fed up. And everybody knows and all this other stuff, which is, it's a joke.
What, climate change a joke or
no, your attitude as if this is like everyone's noticing is not, you're inaccurate. Nobody is picking. I mean, we're a small niche of people that have a clue.
Well, everybody,
all the listeners, yes, the producers of this show,
yes,
I'd say we have a clue, but all susceptible to being pulled away from it.
Yes.
By the mainstream media, which is still lying to them.
No, I think the mainstream media is over. It's done. It's toast. It's no more.
You can say that all you want.
I will. And I will continue to say it.
Yes, you will.
Because it's true. It's Joe Rogan. That's it. It's all we need.
It's all Joe Rogan.
I'm going to shut down the whole podcast.
I think you're going to be on the Rogan show pretty soon. Again, after a 2-year hiatus.
I wasn't going to mention anything.
Oh, I'm sorry I did. Was it going to be a surprise?
Yeah, I wanted everyone to be astounded. The reason why I wasn't going to say anything is because of the TJs.
What's that?
Huh, the Tell Joes.
Oh.
Hey, man, tell Joe that Bitcoin is the way to go. Hey, man, tell Joe he's got to get in with Jesus. Hey, man, tell Joe. I get a lot of that.
Do not, I'm going to send a message out to everybody. Do not send Adam any suggestions
to tell Joe.
You want to tell Joe something? He's got an ex Twitter account. He's got his name Joe Rogan. Just send him a note right there on the Twitter. Tell him yourself.
Tell Joe. It's really amazing. People are excited. That's what I understand. People are just excited. They're excited. One of our own is going on. Yes.
You've been on before 2 or 3 times. You're like a regular.
This will be my 5th time. But it's been 2 years. It's been a very long time. So it's not really regular. You know,
it's like, regular enough.
I keep getting bummed for like Trump, Vance, Musk. I'm sure there was no one available.
You are at best the reliable substitute, the Tony Randall.
Tony Randall, Regis Philbin. Exactly. I'm perfect. The Joan Rivers.
Yeah, there he comes. Who didn't show up? Oh, God, call Adam.
as we, I guess, are in the season of reveal, the CIA has come out with some.
Oh, this is a. I'm surprised. Yeah, I didn't clip this, but yeah.
Well, wow. I got it from CBS because we need to take a medical approach to this story with Dr. Celine Gounder.
China said today that it's, quote, extremely unlikely that.
Wait, wasn't Dr. Celine the one who lost her husband who died during the sporting event? Died suddenly?
I think she is. That could be from the vax, yeah.
I think she, well, we don't know, but yeah.
China said today that it's, quote, extremely unlikely that COVID-19 came from one of its laboratories 2 days after the CIA said the virus may have begun to spread after an accidental leak from a research facility. Now, the agency's finding is not the result of any new intelligence. The report was done during the Biden administration and then declassified and released Saturday on the orders of new CIA Director John Ratcliffe. The CIA does, however, acknowledge it has, quote, low confidence in its own conclusion. Dr. Celine Gounder is here with me now in Studio 57. She's a CBS News medical contributor and editor-at-large for public health at KFF Health News.
Editor-at-large!
So why has the CIA shifted its stance toward this? And remind us what the other possibilities were. I mean, I remember,
yes,
this was only a few years ago, the wet market in Wuhan, why that maybe isn't the prevailing theory anymore for the CIA?
Yeah, she doesn't need to remind us. You just did it.
John Ratcliffe, who's the new head of the CIA, has long thought that COVID was the result of a lab leak. Again, this is not the result of any new intelligence per se, but really how people synthesize, analyze, and weigh the existing evidence. But I think it's also important to emphasize that the confidence that the FDA, or excuse me, CIA has in this assessment is low confidence. And so I think big picture, we still really don't know, and we may never really know where COVID emerged from.
What kind of analysis is she giving?
What?
We may never know. We may never know. Well, let's talk about the theories.
What is the lab leak theory? Again, just catch us up to speed.
The idea being that there may have been an accident in a lab where scientists were working on COVID or COVID-like viruses, perhaps mutated at some point to become COVID. And in fact, there are different theories about even which lab. You have the Department of Energy that thinks it was from the Wuhan Center for Disease Control. You have the FBI, which has said with moderate confidence that they think it comes from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Mm-hmm. The CIA has not said which lab they think it came from, but they think it might have come from a lab. There's a lot of still, even within the intelligence community, conflicting opinions about where this came from.
And Wuhan being where the first cases were discovered.
Exactly.
She's such a stooge, man. What a stooge.
But a stooge for who?
Well, let's listen.
What does it tell you that these agencies don't even agree?
Well, you know, there's also disagreement, right, with the medical and public health and scientific community. I think some of this is a result of we focus on different kinds of information. So intelligence agents are going to focus on what are emails and telephone calls that they can intercept, satellite imagery, those kinds of information. Whereas we as scientists will look at the genomics of the virus, how it's mutating, at what pace over time. Can you find a bat that has a close ancestor of COVID? Can you find direct evidence in the lab that they were tinkering with the genetics of similar viruses?
Yes.
So we just weigh these things slightly differently and have a different perspective as a result.
So your question is, you know, who stooge for who? Well, maybe this clip will answer. It's the last one.
Does it make you worry that if we may never know?
Are you worried?
How are we going to prevent the next one? I mean, yes, it is important to be prepared. We know that we need more PPE stocked up just in case something happens. But the ultimate goal for finding the origin is to make sure we never have to live in times where refrigerated morgues are parked on the street.
Well, I think it depends.
Refrigerated morgues are parked on the street.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah, because, yeah. Well, and she's laughing about it because she knows.
Is a scam.
Yes.
Finding the origin is to make sure we never have to live in times where refrigerated morgues are parked on the street.
Well, I think it depends. I think for some people, it's important to know how it emerged because they want retribution. They want to maybe revenge. And, you know, I think it depends on your perspective.
Code.
Accountability.
Code.
Code.
Code for Trump. For
yes.
The scientific community, public health community, we just want to prevent the next big one. We're not really focused on the past. We're more about, okay, how do we prevent this in the future? And I did have a conversation recently with Admiral Brett Giroir around this. So as many may remember, Giroir was the COVID testing czar under Trump in 2020. And we talked a bit about
How do you prevent something like this from happening again?
Testing.
Is wastewater that kind of early warning system that might alert us that there has been a lab leak from one of these BSL-4 labs?
Yeah, absolutely. Wastewater monitoring is an outstanding way to monitor any geography at a given time for the organisms of your choice. And so it certainly could be used as an early warning system for a lab leak or a natural epidemic.
So we want to be preventing, whether it's a lab leak or it's a wet market in Wuhan, we want to be preventing these things from happening again. And what we talked about was, could you use wastewater testing, for example, right outside one of these high-tech BSL-4 labs that work with dangerous pathogens? If you have a lab leak, you would see it in the wastewater. If you have a lab leak outside of a wet market, you would see it in the wastewater. So can we be more targeted in that way?
Interesting. Yes, just stick a dipstick in my septic and let me know what's in my wastewater.
I should mention, by the way, we have wet markets around here. We have them in San Francisco, Chinatown.
Yeah, and they're all Trump voters now, I hear.
It could be. But the wet market, I want to explain to people what a wet market is in so far as Chinatown is concerned, because there's been a big scandal. They have a wet market, and it's like
ground zero. The next virus coming from San Francisco wet market.
What is it? I'm going to explain what a wet market is, but do you have any idea what a wet market is?
Yes, that's where you have greasy, grimy, dead, pussy bats that people sell for other people to eat in Chinatown.
Yeah.
No.
So a wet market in Chinatown, which is quite kind of a funny thing to visit, is it's like a store, and inside they have tanks and tanks and tanks of live fish, live lobsters, live everything wet. They're living beings, and so you have this whole place that's just filled with wet. It's why it's wet. Why is it called a wet market? No one ever explains this.
Because of water.
And so you go in there, and the thing that happens, and they're getting bent out of shape about this, but I remember when I was in college or even in high school that this was going on. You go into the wet market in Chinatown, and you go in, and there's a big giant tank full of fish, whatever fish it is, catfish, let's say. And you see a fish, I want that fish. And by the way, there is the equivalent of a similar wet market, only it's not wet, of poultry that's run by a Muslim group in Oakland, and you do the same thing there. You see the live fish, you point at it, and they say, okay, and this is how you get fresh fish. They pull it out of the tank and then club it in front of you as the fish is flopping around. They're clubbing it with a big club. And the fish sometimes falls on the ground and they're clubbing away, and it's nightmarish. And so that's a wet market. Now, you witness this. You get to see these guys clubbing away.
And how hungry are you after that for eating this fish after you've seen it?
And then they throw the fish
like a baby
in its
seal.
This is the damnedest thing you've ever seen, by the way.
Wow.
But everyone said, oh, this is cruelty. And so they made a big fuss about the wet market. And so I don't know how many of these are left, but in Oakland, they've got this Muslim thing. Butler and I both.
You still see Butler?
No, I know. This goes back because Butler started using this place almost exclusively for his poultry. And it depends on the time of the year, but they have turkeys, they got ducks, they got geese. Depends. Sometimes they have geese, which is really excellent. You go in there, there's all these cages, tons of cages, all these animals, and you point one out. And some guy sticks his hand in there, grabs him by the neck, takes him. They don't club him in front of you. They take him into the back, chops their head off, and dress him. And you come out with a perfectly dressed, you know, goose or a duck or a chicken.
I'm still kind of hung up on the clubbing of the fish.
Yeah, the clubbing of the fish. It's quite the sight, believe me.
Can they just chop his head off or shoot him?
No, they club him. They don't shoot them either. No, they club them. It's the damnedest thing you've ever seen.
What is the benefit to clubbing?
Stuns them. I don't know. It's cheap. Best price. I mean, it's the easiest way to do it. I don't know.
The things I even learn on this show. It is amazing. I can't wait. Hey, kids. Guess where this fish was an hour ago? Swimming happily in his tank until I had him clubbed. Nice.
Yeah.
Just one more big pharma thing. Did you see this? This was making the rounds. I thought it was probably important to play this TikTok video from a singer named Avery.
Yes, poor Avery. With the pink hair.
Yeah. Do we know Avery? Do we know any
of her? I've never heard of her, but she sure is mournful.
Hold on. Let me see Avery. Let me see music. I'll see.
She's British, I believe.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I know she doesn't have a British accent, but I think she's maybe popular.
Is her name Avery Anna? Let me see. Music.
Somebody in the troll room should
No, know. No one in the troll room knows her. Avery. Let's see. Avery. I can't even find something. Anyway.
Ask Rock.
Whatever. Yeah. So here she is with a very, very sad story.
I just left the doctor's office. I went to get a checkup because I've been off of Ozempic for 2 months now, and I just wanted to see if my body was in better condition, if there were any permanent damages. Kind of in shock right now because I wasn't expecting this. But I guess Ozempic can cause bone density loss, and I didn't think that would happen to me because I was only on it for a year. But I have significant bone loss. I have osteoporosis and osteopenia, so that I don't know, there's like several of them that I have. I wasn't expecting that, but that's what happens if you use Ozempic for weight loss and you lose too much weight.
Wow, this is horrible. Here's a, I have a song by Avery. Let's get to the hook.
Psychopath.
Okay, no, don't need to hear that. That's very sad. They don't talk about that. That was the only Ozempic information I got this week, and it was from Avery, and that was just very sad.
Well, I think it's probably been taken down.
President Trump announced the Iron Dome. Very excited about that. Very excited. We're going to be safe. We're going to be very safe from hypersonic missiles, anything that Russia can throw at us. Too bad for those Europeans, though. They're not. You know, Mark was out trying to get people to pony up again, spreading fear, Mr. NATO.
NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte warned Russia was trying to destabilize countries in the alliance as he called on members to increase defense spending. Rutte spoke at a joint briefing alongside Portuguese Prime Minister Luis Montenegro as he visited Lisbon on Monday.
We also know that the goal of 2%, now set a decade ago, will not be enough to meet the challenges of tomorrow.
Not enough.
The threat from Russia may seem distant, but let me assure you, it is not. Russian ships and long-range bombers menace the Portuguese coast. Portugal's vital undersea infrastructure is squarely in Russia's sights.
During the press conference, Rutte also addressed recent cable ruptures in the Baltic Sea, saying NATO was operating alongside allies to enable a fast and coordinated response.
Yeah, okay. Bombers, the bombers, they've got bombers. They're getting your cables. Oh, very, very scary. It is so scary, so scary, so scary. Do you have any thoughts on the Federal Reserve not cutting rates while the European Central Bank did cut rates by 20 or 25 basis points?
The market didn't like it, but I have no thoughts on it. It should raise rates the way that the economy is doing so well.
Well, that's not what the president wants. He's mad.
No, of course not. He's mad. You jack up everything if you lower the rates.
He's mad.
Overheat.
Yeah. No, he wants the rates to go down.
Yeah, I know he does because it makes him look good.
Oh, okay. Oh. But there's that.
I have the Trump legal update, but that's kind of boring. I do have the Robert Menendez, I guess, was thrown in the slammer.
11 years.
To talk about 11 years.
That
was so corrupt.
Yeah.
But I do have an idiot on TikTok, which I think is the
good. I was looking for a way to get out of here. Okay. Idiot on TikTok. TikTok idiot. Talk idiot.
I think it's really funny that I have to explain political vendettas and retribution to you, because it's all I've been hearing about for the last 8 years is how your guy, everyone else has it out for him. But unlike your guy who thinks that everybody has it out for him, he absolutely has it out for other people. We're going to have to pay double for coffee because he's pissed at the president of Colombia because he didn't want to take Mexicans that he wanted to deport to Colombia because they were brown. Your guy specializes in vendettas. So, yes, Biden pardoned his loved ones because he doesn't want to see them dragged through the mud by a sociopath. Dad.
Man, I'm surprised you didn't get the Selena Gomez.
I understand her. She's crying and bawling over what?
Her people.
She's her Italian.
No, it was her people. She's Italian?
Well, her mom's Italian and her dad, I think, is maybe
she's from Texas. Texas. She's from Texas.
And she's from Texas, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
she got nothing but grief. She had to take it down. She took the post down.
Yeah.
And she's going to eat it for that. I mean, she's a billionaire. She's on the list.
Do you really think she's a billionaire?
No, I don't. No. But she's on the list. She's not starving to death, that's for sure.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab. Yeah, on No Agenda.
Perfect. Guess who's also not a billionaire? Us. However, we do have people who like what we do. They like the value they get from the show, and they like sending value back to us, and we appreciate it. Here is the supporters, donors, value returners for episode 1734, $50 and above.
Yes, starting with Renegade 6 in Caldwell, Texas. This is a switcheroo for Sparkles of Chaos.
Sparkles.
For her 30th birthday.
Oh, nice.
133.33. Harry Pilgrim in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Ah, that's an oldie but a goodie. Our good old Harry. He's been around for a while. Harry's been around for a while.
131.91. And this is celebrating 34 years of marriage to a smoking hot redhead, nice. Jennifer.
Nice.
Michael Formanek in Maple Grove, Minnesota. 12433, Ashen, Texas, and Flower Mound, Texas.
Flower Mound.
12345. Flower Mound's a burial site, Indian burial site.
I didn't know this. Oh, I did know. Actually, I did know that. I think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's a big mound.
It's like, what's that? It's a burial site. Yeah, I've seen it. Yes, indeed.
Kurt, it's a big, it's like a hill.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Binney in St. Lazare, Quebec. Canada, 110. That's a birthday call out. Bronwyn Dawes in New South Wales, Australia, 10535. That could be 200. No, maybe not quite. Jason Maurer in Vancouver, Washington, $100, best place in the world. Anonymous in Columbus, Ohio, 100. Daniela Pompo in Los Angeles, California, 100. Good job, guys, she writes. Sir Scott and Dame Elizabeth in Gardner, Kansas, 100. That's another happy birthday. It is a switcheroo for Brother Ken. Switcheroo for Ken. Amy Galinas in Burien, Washington. You all have been there if you've been to the airport, $100. Alexander Bell, Opelika, Alabama, 8888. Sir Fast Eddie in Alameda, 8008. As Kevin McLaughlin in Concord, North Carolina, continues with the 8008
unbroken streak.
For
years.
Show after show after show. Donation is the Archduke of Luna, lover of American boots. He's got to be moved up from Archduke by now.
Well, what is above Archduke?
Grand Duke.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Grand Duke.
Then we'd have to have a jingle.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to do the math on this. Jorge Alvarez in Ponte Verde Beach, Florida, 7171. That is sometimes pronounced George.
Or Jorge.
Craig Kohler in Evansville, Indiana, 6502, which is a chip. I'm the only one keeps saying
yes,
that.
Yes,
Nobody wants to donate 6502.
No one cares about your chip.
It's the original chip in the Apple II. The Donnellys in Lamour, UK, 63.
There it is. There it is. A one UK donor.
Up, oh, yeah, you're right. 63.54. 33, I'm going to read the note then. 33 is the magic number. My smoking hot husband and I just bought a house, and I based the house purchase price on the 33 theory, and it worked. I don't know what.
Well, here it is. She could keep reading.
Here's a 53.33 pounds.
No, she says, I promised to myself that if we bought the house, I would donate.
Oh.
Not quite sure how that works.
Yeah, she wrote that right there. I left it out.
Yeah.
She's in Scotland. Doesn't count. Jamie Buell in Vista, California, 6006. Norman Watts in Kailua Kona, Hawaii. 5798. Mahala. Michael Eger in North Bethesda, Maryland, 5747. And he's got a note there about the meetup coming up.
The Outer Swamp meetup. Next meetup, Thursday, February 13th, 6 o'clock, Java Nation in Rockville.
It says, it's noteworthy how many dudes named Ben attend these events. Well, he's
of course.
Bethesda.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
Dame, that's near
Spooksville.
Spooks. State of Spooks. Dame Tracy and Sir Canebrake in St. George, Louisiana, 5510. John Matero in Media, Pennsylvania, 5377. That shouts to Billy and Spud. Kevin Adam in Clover, South Carolina, 5272. Rebecca Hooper in Pinehurst, North Carolina, 5272. She likes the newsletter.
No, she loves the newsletter.
She loves the newsletter.
And she says it brings your readers joy.
Thomas, that's because of the memes. Which, another thing Adam hates.
I don't hate them. I hate bad. Oh, okay, fine. I hate them. I hate them. You're right. I hate them all.
There you go. Now you're being honest with yourself. Tom, look it up. Thomas Key in Lansing, Kansas, huh? 5272. Eric Hochul. This guy's been with us forever. He's in Mulros, Deutschland.
Yes.
$52. And now we go to the $50 donor, starting with Richard Gardner, who I believe is in New York.
No.
Aaron.
No. Richard, I think. Oh, no. Yeah, Richard. No. Andrew, Richard. I'm not sure. He might be.
Aaron Weisgerber in Bend, Oregon. John Taylor in Florissant, Colorado. Bobby Bow in Bluegrass, Iowa. Leif Thompson in Meridian, Idaho. David Asari in West Hollywood, California.
Hmm.
Josh Kwa in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. And he's, you see if there's anything in there we need.
Yeah, I'll read it because it was a $75 Canadian. Listen to that math, huh? I'm only able to send you a small donation. I'm hoping you guys will wish my brother Nicholas a happy 24th birthday at some point on the Thursday, January 30 show. To say he's been an avid fan of yours is an understatement. He's been a dedicated listener, rarely missing an episode since the early COVID days. He got me into the show several months ago, and I myself become a huge fan. Excuse me, I should have hit the cough button. He's the best brother a guy can ask for, even though he's younger by age. I find myself looking up to him often. Keep on rocking our socks off twice a week, Adam and John, and happy birthday, Nick.
Onward with Joshua Johnson in Omaha, Nebraska. And last on our list is good old Dame Rita. She's always there. From Sparks, just outside of Reno, Nevada. $50. And that concludes our list of producers, well-wishers, and people we have to thank for show 1734, because they've done a good job of keeping us going.
Yes, they have. We appreciate you so much. Thanks to everybody who came in under $50 for reasons of anonymity, because we will not read any of those. And several of those, of course, are sustaining donations. Consider doing that no matter what you donate. Any amount, any frequency, it's all up to you. It is all value for value. NoAgendaDonations.com. John Dietrich turned 33 on the 28th. We say happy birthday to him. Renegade 6 wishes Sparkles of K.
chaos, a happy one for today. Kurt Binney is celebrating today, and my buddy Jimmy Pruitt here in Fredericksburg, also celebrating his birthday. Sir Scott and Dame Elizabeth wish their brother Ken a happy one, turned 61 on the 30th. Happy birthday to Dr. Ken and Sammy, celebrating their 60th anniversary today, and they never had a fight. And finally, Joshua Kwa wishes his brother Nicholas a happy birthday. He turns 24 today as well. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. Two knights to bring up on stage on the podium here, so I will bring out my double knighting blade if you've got something. Go. Very nice one. Oh, that's with the mother of pearl handle. I like that. Aaron Cole and JD, step on up. Both of you are about to come knights of the Knowledge in a round table. I'm very proud to pronounce KD as Sir Aaron Cole of the Strawberry Fog and Sarcastic the Nomad. You asked for specifics at the round table. I have them here for you. Brisket and some bourbon. Tamdu 12-year-old and lamb chops in case you want it. We got hookers and blow, rent boys and Chardonnay. We also have cowgirls and coffin varnish. Ruben S. Women and Rosé, geishas and sake, vodka, vanilla, bong hits and bourbon, sparkling cider and escorts, ginger ale and gerbils is a favorite, breast milk and pablum, or the mutton and the meat. It's always here for all of our nights. Thank you very much for supporting us. The amounts aggregate. Doesn't matter how long it takes you. Once you get there, you get that beautiful ring. Go to noagendarings.com. You can see them for yourself. And please send us your ring size, the address where you want it sent to. And of course, that always comes with wax, which you can use the rings, the Signet ring, to seal your important correspondence and a certificate of authenticity. Once again, welcome to the roundtable, our two brand new knights.
No agenda.
That's right. Connection is protection. If you go with an attitude of gratitude, you will find out that the people at the meetups are your first responders in an emergency. They are producer organized, and you can find all of them at noagendameetups.com. This is where we see that today the North Georgia Monthly Meetup takes place at 6 o'clock at Cherry Street Brewing in Alpharetta, Georgia. Saturday, to the best of my ability meetup, 2 o'clock at Reggie's in Chicago, Illinois. That's a good one. And we do want reports. I didn't get any reports for today's show, which is kind of disappointing. Then on Saturday, it's the Get John Out of the House Meetup 6.0 in Northern Silicon Valley at 3:33 p.m. Club Mallard, Albany, California. It's a home game for you, John. Everybody will be expecting you to show up.
Oh, yeah.
And bring your kids.
Yeah, they may or may not. Well, they're probably still going to be sick.
No. No. Yeah, that's no good. Is Mimi coming? No, Mimi's not there. She's not.
She's up north right now.
Also on Saturday, in case you're not in Northern Silicon Valley, Dayton, Ohio, Search for the Actual Tinfoil Meetup, 5:30 in Dublin Pub, Dayton, Ohio. And on our next show day, Sunday, Too Many Kegs. I see what you did there. 3:30 at McGillen's Old Ale House in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, organized by your local 76. These are just a few of the meetups that are available at noagendameetups.com. I'm looking down the list if we have any international. We have Ottawa on the 22nd of February, Sevenum in the Netherlands, March 29th. Oh, there's too many to mention. Go to noagendameetups.com. That's where you can find all of them. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself. It's easy and always a party.
You wanna go hang out with all the knights and dames. You wanna be where you want me, triggered on all the same. You wanna be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
All right, fair warning, I'm over ISO'd today. When it rains, it pours.
Okay, good. Why don't you just run yours off?
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we don't know.
There's one for you.
What in the hell is wrong with y'all?
Kind of like that one. And this one, of course.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, goodness gracious.
Your favorite.
That's right. And do I have another one? Yes, this one here.
That was really cool.
Come on. Those are all good.
I think only one of them is good, and that was goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, the other two were negative about the show. I didn't like that.
Okay.
I only have two.
All right.
And they're very positive.
Okay.
One is more than good.
More than good for a podcast.
Oh, you're killing me with these. These are so good. This is more than good as an ISO.
For a podcast.
For a podcast, yes.
And then the best.
This is simply the best anyone can do.
I think
more than good for a podcast.
I think you just win with that.
Yeah, it's a winner.
I can't beat that. Here we go, everybody. It's time once again for the famous John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCD.
And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
Everyone's excited. Everyone's excited for John's tip of the day. It's an exciting thing.
This is one of those really great tips, like the people finder tip.
That was not a great tip. That was a horrible tip.
It was a horrible great tip.
Horrible.
A lot of people found relatives. They did a lot of things. I know it's for you because you had a picture of your house.
I did not like the tip of the day.
And this one's a killer. This is a website again. temp-mail.org/en for English.
Temp, say again.
Temp-mail. Uh-huh. Temp, and this is a, mail, a temporary email.
M-A-I-L?
Mail? Yeah, yes. This is a temporary email address generator.
Oh.
You can sign up for websites, protect yourself from spam, do all, you know, because you sign up with a fake, there's a fake email that you can use, and then you can confirm, because I always say, well, I'll send you a confirmation. And this, if you, while you're on the site, you can pick up that confirmation right there on the spot. Send it like, yeah, that's me. Sign me up. And so now you have a fake email. And so this is for people who do I say espionage, poison pen letters,
Bitcoin scams.
Anything you want. It's I would say this is a bit sketchy in that regard, but at the same time, this could come in very handy.
Give that URL again, please.
temp-mail.org/en for English.
Very nice. Well, you can find that tip on noagendatipoftheday.net or noagendafun.com. And of course, we are grateful to Dana Brunetti.
Created by Dana Brunetti, the No Agenda Tip of the Day. The No Agenda Tip of the Day, starring John C. Borat and Adam Curry.
There you go. That wraps up our broadcast day. We hope that we have settled your amygdalas down to their proper size and you're feeling good about the world once again. Do not be worried. Everything will be okay. You can't add a single hour to your life by worrying about anything. Just worry about us coming back on Sunday. That's all you really need to worry about. We hope we'll make it. John's got a lot of sick people around him. So stay safe, John. Stay safe. Up next on No Agenda Stream and, of course, trollroom.io and the modern podcast apps is the Millennial Media Offensive. It's episode 155 for them, The African Itch. Well worth the listen. We have end of show mixes from, let me see, we've got David Kekta. We've got Matt Lazzari with some classics, and I don't even know who this one is from, the 6K dime bag. I'll find it and put it in the credits. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, in the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's going to finally rain again a little bit, keep us from getting any fires, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday with more of your media deconstruction, not coming to you from the White House press office, press room, because we're not going to do that. Remember us at noagendadonations.com. Until Sunday, adios, mofos, and hooey hooey and such.
We're all going to die.
Start the process of euthanizing. Start the process of euthanizing. Start the process of euthanizing. Start the process of euthanizing.
We're gonna die.
Morbidity and mortality. We have 13 recalls. Telling hospitals how they can protect patients and protect their own health workers. The CDC is warning that raw milk from an infected cow, not only just drinking it, but potentially even just being splashed in the face with it. Yes. Contact with raw milk from an infected cow is one of the ways people can be exposed to this emerging epidemic of bird flu.
This is a huge blunder. There's one thing that's interesting and no one's picked up on.
We want you to be safe and we want you to be back in your homes immediately. Almond for environment.
Food and Rural Affairs says all poultry on the premises near Hornsey in the East Riding will be humanely killed.
Hey, citizen.
I'm back!
In the morning.
Let me ask you about China.
How could I dislike China? I love China.
Wow.
You know, I love them. I love China.
Space Force.
You know, I love them. I love China.
Space Force.
Don't put out.
Big league China. I love China. China all the time. China now.
Close it up.
Are you talking to me? Let's say China. China.
Close it up.
You know, I love them. I love China.
Space Force.
You know, I love them. I love China.
Space Force.
Close it up.
Donald Trump, China is asshole. So don't tell me about China. I know China. People from China, they love me.
People say, oh, you don't like China.
I like China. Buy toys from China.
Chongqing, China.
Asshole.
Don't drop. I have to have my China. How could I dislike China? I go to China. I love them.
China now.
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing, bing. China.
China, asshole.
Don't drop. Why are you laughing? Shut up.
I went back and I looked, and this is cringeworthy. Bought a dime bag of drugs on Silk Road for 6 Bitcoin. $600,000 I lost for this show.
For a $10 bag of weed or whatever you bought.
I remember it came through the mail too. And it wasn't even all that good. It was stems and seeds. Horrible.
You got gypped.
I got gypped. For the show, man. It's a service we provide for the show. What? You spent 6 Bitcoin on drugs? Exactly. That's how I felt.
The best podcast in the universe.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
More than good for a podcast.